WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. The following is a WGIL sports presentation. Silver Streaks football. Galesburg High School Silver Streaks football on WGIL. Kicks off with a pregame show.
Cuts back to the middle, inside the 10-yard line, to the goal line, and a touchdown. Trying to get past a man, jukes left, jukes right, and he's in for the touchdown.
And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Ling with Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, by Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg, for all your insurance needs. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed, by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville, I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street, building a better bond between you and your pet. We're proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Welcome at Morton High School, where the Galesburg Silver Streaks play their first road game of the season. And both teams come in with records of 1-0. Believe it or not, the first ever meeting between the Silver Streaks out of the Western Big Six and the Potters out of the Mid-Illini Conference. We've just had the kickoff. Morton returns to its own 25-yard line. And the Potters will start off on offense behind starting sophomore quarterback David Rossi at 6'1", 175. Single setback in the backfield. Pump fakes. Looks once. Under some pressure. Now rolls out to the near side. Throws it downfield and overthrows the intended receiver just into the secondary for the Silver Streaks. And he overthrows Justin Picorni on first down. Quick look at the starting lineup for the Potters. DJ's on in the starting wingback position. One of the starting wingbacks ran for three touchdowns last week in a 32-8 win over Normal U-High. Fernandez Bjork, the other starting wingback, 5'9", 165-pound junior. Zahn is a senior, and another senior, the fullback in the backfield, Tristan Papadzik at 5'11", 220 pounds. Set the Galesburg defense and the Morton starting offensive line for you here in just a moment. The tight end, the two tight end set, Matt Hungate at 6'4", 235-pound junior, and Brennan Williams, a 6-foot, 210-pound senior. We had a freshman game tonight to start things off rather than the typical sophomore game, and the freshmen lost by a final of 32-8. And we're switching footballs, which explains a little bit of a delay here. Jim Lee, always good to be with you, and we talked about the weather conditions. Morton is moving into the wind on this opening drive from the Potters' 25-yard line on second and 10. Pitch into the backfield. They get it to Zahn, trying to cut to the outside, gets a little bit of room, skips back as another defender across the 30 to the 32-yard line, where Tremaine Carson makes the hit. D. Dorch in also on the assist, and it'll be third down and about three coming up here.
Kind of a surprise that Morton threw the ball on first down, put themselves in a second and 10 with their primarily a running team. But that time they pitch it wide. Jared Carl did a nice job to come out and force Zahn to the sideline, but Zahn is so fast, our secondary didn't come up very quickly, and he still ended up getting 8 yards out of it.
Single set, one wide out to each side. Fake pitch. Now, Rossi rolling right, under pressure, gets the pass away, wide open to the tight end on the far side of the field. Matt Hungate taken down across the 40-yard line to the 42, and Morton converts on a third down.
Boy, unfortunate for the Streaks. D. Dorch had a real shot at the quarterback that time, but couldn't bring him down. And once he had time to look things over, as you said, found the big tight end and a first down for the Potters.
Gain of 10 on the second pass attempt of the night, and the first completion goes to the tight end, Hungate. We're just underway in the first quarter from Morton High School, where the Silver Streaks have never played. Two wideouts to the near side and a fumble on the snap. Scramble for the ball, and the Streaks have recovered as the ball pops back to the 45-yard line.
That's what we love to see. Woo! Because Morton had three of those last week. Their defense was strong enough that they were able to survive it. But Coach Terry talked to us in the pregame. That's what they've been trying to work on this week, is not have that happen. On their first possession, they turn it over at their own 45. Silver Streaks, first and 10, a chance to draw first blood in this game.
Three fumbles. They lost all of them last week, and now the Silver Streaks take over on offense behind three-year starting senior quarterback Andrew Steck. To the near side, Nathan Mines lines up. Man in motion in the backfield is Diggins, going to the left and straight up the middle, actually, just across left tackle for a gain of five on first down.
Yeah, they put Diggins in motion that time and then quickly got it to Robert Jackson inside, and he got dropped. A good sure-handed tackle by Brennan Williams, a senior linebacker for Morton, but not before Jackson had scurried for 5 yards.
Gain of five to the 40 on Galesburg's first play of the game. We're just past the 10.5-minute mark of the first quarter with a triple set backfield. Now in motion, here's a fumble on the snap, and it looks like Morton has recovered. So offsetting fumbles in the first six plays of the game, as it was a bad connection. Okay, so it's Walchert who got the recovery for Morton, but it looked like Andrew Steck just didn't quite make a solid handoff straight up the middle, and both teams have had trouble hanging on to the ball, and it turns things back over to the Potters at their own 39-yard line with 10:28 to go in the first quarter. Handoff goes to the right side, and a scramble and a pile up just across the 40-yard line. That one goes for very short yardage on first down.
That was the big boy Popodzik, who ran for nearly 100 last week, but he carried it 20-some-odd times, so he doesn't get a lot in one carry. He just kind of wears the defense down. He was bashing his way up there, hitting several guys. They held him up, and then Ricketts came over. Ryan, of course, not too scared of a big fullback, and he put him down.
Second down and a long seven, we'll call it, for the Potters. Just underway in the first quarter. Pitch to the right side. Zahn gets down to the far side of the field. Gets down low. Gets the shoulders low. Breaks free, and he's gone down the far sideline. A long touchdown run for the Morton Potters, who take an early 6-0 lead at the 9:45 mark.
Well, that's the speed guy, and if you don't wrap up and tackle, that's what happens. We had several guys put helmets on him. A couple got an arm on him. But he was able to break free of those, and as soon as he gets a step on the defense, nobody's going to catch him. A track star, and he looked like it there, and the Potters are up 6-0.
Now, the kicking game was a real problem for Morton last week. They converted only two of their five extra point attempts, and this one is due into that stiff westerly wind tonight. Good snap, good hold, and a low line drive kick somehow just gets over the crossbar and between the uprights. 7-0 Potters, 9:45 to go first quarter. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Lazy laptops, iffy iPhones, baffling big screens. No, I'm on it. I'm your digital goddess, Kim Commando. And when you make my weekend show your standing appointment, I'll make sure your digital world runs smoothly. So join me, Kim Commando, right here this weekend. We'll have fun exploring all things digital.
Computer problems? Listen to America's Digital Goddess, Kim Commando, Sundays 9 to 12 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
You could win four tickets to see the Cardinals and Cubs play at Busch Stadium on September 15th. Starting tomorrow, listen to Cardinal Baseball to find out how you can win on WGIL.
A two-play scoring drive from the Morton Potters. 62 yards started from their 38. DJ Zahn finishes off the final 59 yards for the touchdown. And just 2 minutes and 15 seconds into the game, the Morton Potters lead the Silver Streaks 7-0. Both teams fumbled it away on their opening possession. Morton turns it into a score.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the Streaks respond. I think one thing that was obvious, our two offensive plays that we ran, both times we got hit harder than we ever got hit in four quarters last week. So that adjustment to this level of competition takes a little while. Let's hope we don't turn it over again.
Low line drive kick, no attempt even to try to kick into that wind. Streaks muff it a little bit at the 25-yard line. Now pick it up, trying to run to the left side. They'll cross the, well, about the 26-yard line or so. Robert Jackson on the return, and let's see if the Silver Streaks can do a better job protecting the ball. You might remember Galesburg coughed it up five times last week but lost only one of them, and Coach Wes Olson has said since before practice even started this year. They have to do a better job of taking care of the football, and it's already cost them tonight.
Well, I think Morton coach Jason Terry mentioned at least three times on our pregame interview, special teams, and you saw it pay off there. Great coverage on Jackson, who really couldn't get anything going on the kickoff return.
At the 9:41 mark of the first quarter, let's see if the Streaks can put together a drive. Little simple run straight up the middle by Trayvon Diggins across the 30 to about the 32-yard line. Not a bad gain on first down. See if the Silver Streaks can start moving some chains here behind Andrew Steck at quarterback, Robert Jackson the start at fullback along with Trayvon Diggins and Andy Holloway in the backfield. Nathan Mines and Jared Carl, the starting receivers. Across the line, Austin Finley. It's a five senior offensive line. We'll give you the rest of them here in just a moment. As Steck brings the line to center on second and four. Drops back to pass with the wind behind him. Lost it to the far side of the field. It's caught and immediately. Holloway, and the Streaks have a first down.
Well, and this is the facet of the game that many of us felt had to improve coming into this season, and we knew it could because we saw Andrew Steck throw the ball last year. When he did, he was very effective, and now with a big target as Jared Carl has really developed as a receiver, he went to him there. Don't be surprised if the Streaks throw it 10, 15 or more times tonight.
Didn't have to throw it, but three times last week. Here's a handoff to the right side. The hole closes quickly, but still a little gain across the 40-yard line as Robert Jackson comes up off the bottom of the pile, moves it to about the 42.
Still remember the last time we were over in this area, of course, playing Peak in the last game of the season last year, and Andrew Steck hobbling in there and throwing that winning touchdown pass to Aaron Merritt. That was one of the best games we've had in years as we survived a last-second drive by Peak, and what a great win that was.
Reset backfield with Diggins in motion. Little jumping by the defensive side. Long toss to Diggins. He does a nice job reaching out for it. Scrambling up the far side of the field. The ball pops out as he goes down. Rolling all the way inside the Morton 40-yard line. But no celebration by the Potters. So apparently the Streaks do get it back. A nice job by Trayvon Diggins to stretch those short arms out as far as he possibly could. As Steck led him a little too much on the option toss. And then once he got going, he got hit, and the ball scooted forward. What, Jim? Another 6 yards after he coughed it up, and the Streaks do hang on to it at the 39.
Yeah, that's probably not the way you want to gain an extra 5 yards is to have it rolling on the ground forward, but we got away with it that time. Diggins is kind of a wild card in this one. I'm not sure Morton really knows much about him, but he is an explosive runner. They're really focused on Jackson.
Goes as a 19-yard gain. Straight up the middle with a little fullback dive across the 40. And maybe, I'd say no gain on first down.
Not sure we've seen Andy Holloway in the backfield yet in our first few plays. You've had a lot of motion with Diggins in the slot.
You're right, they're definitely keying on Robert Jackson, though. Every time he touches the ball, there are red jerseys everywhere. It'll be second and 10 for the Silver Streaks, just approaching the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, and the Potters with an early 7-0 lead. First score that the Streaks have given up this season, trying to play from behind. Fake handoff, now they give it to Diggins, who gets hit at the 40-yard line for a loss of one. Tried a little misdirection, and the Potters did not fall for it. It'll be third and 11.
No, they did a heck of a job on the counter there. Jed Lacey, a defensive lineman, a senior, 6'2", 205, really laid a lick on Diggins that time, and what I thought was a pretty well-devised offensive play, but as you said, Brad, it did not fool that linebacker for Morton, and he really stuck him.
From the Potter 40-yard line, third and long. For the first time, the Silver Streaks puts Andrew Steck back in the shotgun. Back to pass, now fakes on the option keeper, straight up the middle on a draw play. Hit across the 35-yard line and taken down at about the 32. He'll be 4 yards short of the first down. Now, here's the thing. Streaks have a pretty darn good kicker in Drew Carlson, and he's got the wind behind him. And Carlson is going out there. Wow, are you going to go for a field goal here?
Boy, 32,
be about 42. About a 49-yarder.
Yeah, I don't. He's not got that kind of leg, does he?
Doesn't look like it. The Streaks are huddling up as if they will go for it on fourth down.
Yep. Well, actually,
now Steck's backing up into punt formation. from his own 45-yard line. They fake. They get a direct snap to Jared Carl, trying to get back to the 30-yard line. He gains a couple, but he's still 2 yards short of the first down. So the Streaks will give it up on downs here with 5:38 to go in the first quarter.
Morton sniffed that out pretty well. You know, Jared Carl, of course, a backup quarterback who can do some things on offense, the up man there, and we snapped it right to him. And that surprises defensive coordinator Sean Hickey. I talked to Sean before the game, and he said, you know what, in practice we've worked that every time as a surprise, and it's worked out here in the varsity field against the other team's first unit. It did not work, and so the Potters take over.
From their own 32-yard line, fake pitch. Now the handoff left side. Zahn drops the ball. The Streaks pile on top of him. I think he got it back at the 31. There's still a dog pile for it. Still a scramble for it. The official trying to uncover. Now some players shoving each other. And Galesburg gets it back.
D. Dorch comes out of the pile with it. And a heck of a job by the Silver Streaks, because Zahn had recovered it briefly, but then somebody reached in there and stripped it out again. And then that's where you had the pile for it. And D. Dorch, aggressive in there, fighting his way to the bottom of the pile and then hanging off. As you said, there was some pushing and shoving. Andy Holloway involved in that one for the Silver Streaks, but there was no flag. And so Galesburg receives its second gift from Morton.
Well, I guess. Let's
see if we can capitalize here.
Streaks get it at the Morton 31-yard line with 5:22 to go, first quarter. Hand off right side. Now Steck keeps it and gets stacked up at the 30-yard line for a gain of one. The handoffs just are not very crisp. Even the fake, they practically ran into each other. Steck and Jackson did, and it was a nice job by Steck just to even pick up a yard out of that.
Yeah, you get too many people clustered together and there's not much ball movement. It makes it easy for the defense. It's kind of like the old Bubba Smith commercial. He said, I used to just grab the whole backfield until I found the one with the ball. And that's kind of what Morton's doing right now, and it's pretty obvious we're not going to score 57 points tonight, because this Morton defense, which nearly pitched a shutout against U High last week, looks to be very stout.
Second and nine for the Streaks from the 30-yard line. We've already seen three fumbles in the game and a long touchdown run by the Potters, who lead it 7-0. With 4:35 to go and a 5-yard penalty coming up against the Streaks, that'll make second and 14 as they march it back to the 35.
First penalty of the game. By this time last week, we'd had a number of them on both teams.
None of them ever were big ones, though.
No? Just kind of nuisance penalties.
Yep. All right, so let's see what the Streaks can do on second and 14 with the wind at their backs from the Potters 35-yard line. Toss into the backfield. Diggins. Somebody in the secondary flushed that one out. Diggins gets away from him, but he doesn't even get back to the 35-yard line. The Potters saw that one coming. I think it was Brendan Williams actually coming out of one of the outside linebacker spots. Diggins went into motion, and Williams shot forward to the line of scrimmage, and Trayvon never could get to the corner because Williams was already across.
Streaks were trying to get the block out there, but just couldn't quite get the guy out of the way. Andy Holloway was trying for all he was worth to get that kick out block, but he couldn't get rid of the guy, and it ended up costing us probably at least a small gain.
Loss of another three, and the Streaks are pitched back to 3rd and 17. Back to pass. Steck looking downfield. Mines across the middle, and he's overthrown just short of the goal line. Mines had lost his man briefly, but then Steck still overthrew him by about another yard and a half. And it falls incomplete for fourth down.
And not a very good read by Mines that time, the receiver. He did a nice job of cutting back inside. He was open briefly, but I think he's got to realize that wind blowing out of the west, you've got to keep running. If he keeps running on that ball landed on the goal line, I think we've got ourselves a big play. But he kind of stopped on the ball and then all of a sudden realized it was still carrying. It was too late to adjust.
All right, Steck standing at the 50 with the wind behind him. And at first, Morton sent nobody back to receive a punt, but now they send Andrew Starkey back there. Steck booms one into the wind, and Starkey just watches it fall halfway through the end zone for the touchback. Like watching an outfielder when he knows the ball is going well over his head, over the center field wall, just standing there and watching it go. I don't think Starkey even flinched at the slightest thought of going after that one.
Now we've got a penalty against the Streaks, but I think they're going to decline it. Because I'm sure, yeah, Morton thinking, well, we'd rather have it at the 20 than have Steck get a retry and maybe knock us inside the 10 there.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you back the streaks up 5 yards, then that one probably goes to the goal line, and then you have to run it. So the Potters take it at their own 20 with 3:39 to go in the first quarter, leading 7-0. Three possessions. The Potters have fumbled twice and have had a two-play scoring drive. DJ Zahn with a 59-yard touchdown run. Handoff goes to Starkey on the right side, and the streaks are on top of him right away for a loss on first down.
D. Dorch over there again for the Silver Streaks. He's been active here early.
Our crunch time player of the game last week for a safety that he scored early in the game after the Streaks had fumbled away a potential touchdown. Then he scored later in the game offensively.
Cole Spinks over there as well. That's no surprise. He's going to be in the neighborhood of the ball on just about every play.
Starkey lost 5 on first down. It's 2nd and 15. Upcoming. Handoff across the right side, and again the white jerseys are right there. Almost immediately as the handoff is made, gain, and it'll be 3rd down coming up as Popodzik is the last one off the pile.
Well, and that handoff looked a lot like what the Silver Streaks have been doing. Just a cluster in there and some trouble exchanging the ball, and then you got the defense all piled in on it, and the play just has no chance. So you got to think, at least when the Silver Streaks have the ball, the way this thing is playing out in the first quarter, we're going to have some chances to throw it, and I think if throwing is probably going to be the only way we win this ball game tonight. The running yards are going to be awful hard to come by.
They get it to their track stars on, and he's taken down into the backfield. Nice open field tackle by Tremaine Carson. Coach Wes Olson said in the pregame show that if Zahn gets to the outside, he could really cause some problems for us. That's what happened on the long touchdown run, but Carson didn't let it happen there, and he gains only 3. It'll be 4th and 12, and the Streaks face pretty good field position here with Morton trying to punt into that pretty stiff wind now.
Don't think we got to worry about a fake in this territory.
Two Streaks back to receive. Good left-footed kick, spinning kind of strangely. Jackson takes it short of the 50. Now finds some running room across Morton territory into the 35, short of the 30-yard line before he's knocked out of bounds. Nice return by Robert Jackson, and the Streaks have great field position, but they've had pretty good field position in this first quarter and have yet to find the end zone with a minute 43 to play, down 7-0.
Well, and almost through the first quarter, and hopefully the players have gotten a little more comfortable out there on the field. And talking with Sean Hickey before the game, he said it was a real good bus ride over. He said everybody was fairly quiet and pretty focused. He said this senior group especially has that ability to do that. He said they set a good example, but he could tell everybody was still a little nervous because they knew they had a big challenge here tonight.
Triple set backfield, 2 tight ends set, handoff straight up the middle for Robert Jackson. Good hole across the left side of the Streaks offensive line, and Jackson takes it to the 25 for a gain of 7.
That's the best opening we've seen up the middle so this first quarter.
2nd and 3 upcoming for the Silver Streaks. Only the 3rd carry of the night for Robert Jackson for 12 yards. And the Potters keyed on him just about every time he's touched the ball. And the Streaks are really packing it in, not even sending any wideouts in these last two formations. Hand off to the last man through. Holloway with a hole across the middle to the 20 before he's stacked up. But that's enough for the first down for the Silver Streaks. A gain of 5 on 2nd down, and they move the chains to the 20-yard line.
Well, unfortunately, we'll be moving probably against the wind here unless we score in the final minute of this quarter, which is possible. The ball's on the 20-yard line. Big play could do it.
Still 60 seconds to go. Not many first down conversions for the Silver Streaks this evening. Trying to get on the scoreboard at the Morton 20-yard line, ready to move into the end zone with 50 seconds to play in the first quarter. With the win, Steck, handoff left side, Trayvon Diggins. Good tackle at the waist, slows him down. That's enough to bring Trayvon down, but not before he picks up 5 more. Kyle Haft got a hand on him, slowed him down. Gain of 5. 2nd and 5 for the Streaks with 30 seconds to go in the first quarter. Battling the clock right now as much as they're battling the Morton defense.
We thought that wind would die down a little, but it's actually gusting right now as strong as it's been all day.
2nd down for the Streaks. Maybe the last play of the first quarter. Let's see what happens. Fake handoff by Steck, rolling to the near side. He'll keep it to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! With 8.9 seconds to go in the first quarter, Steck rolls it in for the final 20 yards, and the Streaks, the final 50 yards, and the Streaks get within a point here.
Excellent decision by Andrew Steck to keep that ball. He had an option to throw it, but he knew he could get to at least the 5, and then Robert Jackson threw a nice block for him to help to get him into the end zone.
Drew Carlson in for the extra point attempt. This should be easy for him. Oh, and it gets blocked. Good penetration by the Morton defense, and specifically by the tallest guy out there, Matt Hungage, who's listed at 6'4". He looks like he might be an inch or two even taller than that. And he gets the hand up, blocks the Carlson extra point. So the Streaks trail 7-6 with 8.9 seconds to go in the first quarter.
Hey, you hate to see those extra points miss because you're a possession behind again. But, you know, I've got to say it on the other end. I was surprised that Morton got theirs through because Kevin Hurd came blowing through there. And I'm not sure how the kicker got it over Kevin's hands. He blocked a number of kicks last year. He's a specialist at that and almost got it on the Morton end, but not quite. And then the Potters do get the job done on the Galesburg extra point. But even with the block there, Brad, you got to be happy with the fact that I think that score instills a lot of confidence in us going into the rest of this ball game that, hey, we can move the ball a little bit on the ground against these guys.
Well, and the defense seems to have picked it up after maybe getting shaken up a little bit early on in the game after a Morton fumble on the opening possession, the opening drive. The Streaks got it back, then coughed it right up, and before the defense really was even able to settle itself, Zahn ran off that long touchdown run. The defense has looked much more settled since then and have played very effectively. Carlson's kick is a low line drive. He doesn't want it to go too deep into the wind. Bounces twice and fielded on the run on the far side of the field by Starkey at the 10. Trying to cut up the far side of the field, and it looks like he's knocked out of bounds at about the 20, and a late flag comes in with 4.3 seconds to go in the first quarter. The play was pretty much dead by the time, and it's going against the Silver Streaks. I looked up just at the last split second, Jim. Did you see? I saw it went against us, but I couldn't see what
it was. That's all I saw was the hand pointed that way, but I've got to think as late as that came in, it's probably a personal foul.
With us being on the visitor's side of the field, all the referees' indications are going to the home side of the field, the press box, and he was about as far away from us when he made that signal, and he still got his back to us, and I still can't see what he did.
Well, they didn't mark off major yardage there, I don't think.
Doesn't look like it.
So it couldn't have been a personal foul.
Morton has it. Looks like they moved him forward 10 yards. So the Potters will have it at their own 31-yard line. And this, barring something really strange, will be the last play of the first quarter. And penetration in the backfield. But Morton breaks it. Now up the middle. And this is going to be a long run by Fernandez Bjork. Streaks in pursuit on the far side of the field at the 30. At the 20. At the 10. That's a touchdown. No flags. And what a wild first quarter that brings to an end.
Tyler Ennis had a shot in the backfield, a real good shot, and just missed the tackle. And little did he know at that time, I'm sure, that that was going to be the only shot the Silver Streaks had at the guy as he turns what would have been probably a 5 to 6 yard loss into a long touchdown run.
Because what happened was it slowed him down just enough in the backfield that the defense started to penetrate across the line of scrimmage and get into the backfield. And once they did that, there was a hole right up the middle. Now they're going to run it. And a pass to the far side of the field, and it's knocked away from behind as Holloway reaches in and bats away the two-point conversion. So that may become a big play later in the game as it keeps the score within 7 at 13-6, and that is the end of the first quarter. With the Potters on top of the Silver Streaks, 13-6. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Greg Reshire. Proud to bring you GHS football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at GalesburgCars.com.
Your news talk and sports station, Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Back here at Morton High School, where one quarter is in the books, and the Silver Streaks trail the Morton Potters 13-6 in a very unusual first quarter, Jim Lee, that we both thought came to an end on an unusual play call.
Yeah, I was a little surprised Morton goes for the two there. If they just kick the one, then it forces us to be 8 points down and would force us to, yeah, I mean, it's early in the game, so, but still, I mean, it gives you life when you look up and you're only 7 points behind. And so they nearly pulled it off, but good anticipation by the Streaks out there to finally break that one up. And now Morton, though, will be playing with the wind in this quarter as they go from west to east.
Back to receive for the Silver Streaks. Robert Jackson, high spinning kick to the near side of the field, backs Tremaine Carson up, and that one lands almost out of the back of the end zone. So the Streaks will have it at their own 20, and that's probably just fine, given this strong wind, as you indicated, Jim, has not let up one bit.
You and I could probably kick it inside the 10 with that wind at our back. But, yeah, Tremaine didn't even think about grabbing that because it did. It went almost to the back of the end zone, then into the band, which is lined up behind the east end zone there, or the west end zone, excuse me, for the Potters.
First quarter featured three fumbles, two by the Potters, one by the Silver Streaks. Features two long touchdown runs by the Potters. DJ's on for 59 yards, Fernandez Bjork for 69 yards. And a 13-6 Morton lead as we get set for the first play of the second quarter. Streaks with that triple set backfield. Handoff straight up the middle. A quick handoff and an effective one as Robert Jackson breaks it for 11 yards on first down. Before the Potters defense even knew he had it, he had the first down.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of Jackson and Diggins both. They're, you know, we talked about how fast a couple of backs are in the Morton backfield. Well, they realized that, well, Jackson may not be quite as fast as their guy, but he's right there. And then, of course, Diggins can turn it on as well. So both of these teams with big play threats, and maybe we'll see a lot of points here before the night is through.
Jackson starting to find a little more running room after he was keyed on hard the first few times. Hand off to the right side and a little bit of running room for
Jackson
the Silver Streaks. Yep, Jackson to just short of the 30-yard line. He'll pick up a couple on first down.
At least through one quarter of play, I'm really impressed with Jed Lacy, their senior defensive lineman, 6'2", 205. He's got a nose for the ball. He hits hard. I've got to think at the end of the season, when you look at all-conference picks in the middle line, you're probably going to see this guy's name because he really comes to play.
1 minute gone, second quarter, second and seven for the Silver Streaks coming up from their own 34-yard line. Morton's defense didn't look set there. Streaks take advantage of it across the left side of the offensive line, and Trayvon Diggins gets a first down up to the 43-yard line. There was a lot of movement by Morton on the right side of that defensive line as they did not look like they were quite sure what to do, and that's exactly the direction the Streaks went, and Diggins took advantage of.
Well, and he really reminded me of his brother Ricky Diggins on that one, because Ricky had that ability to bounce off guys. He was a tough runner and with good speed, and he looked just like him there. He took a couple of shots either side and still was able to scamper up the middle.
Diggins gains nine. First down for the Silver Streaks. Now Diggins goes in motion. Steck with the fake. Fakes pitch. Hangs on to it and gets brought down from behind right at the 45-yard line for a pickup up. Steck will keep that. It's on its toes, taking a handoff, faking a pitch. That's the beauty of the option when you've got a guy who really knows how to run it. He can keep the defense guessing.
Second down and eight. 45, Kyle Haft with the tackle. He's another senior linebacker for this Morton team. Both of these teams have got a lot of quality seniors on the field, and the years that they've both been pointing to for a while here, so this is quite a matchup.
Morton coming off a season in which they won only three games last year. Handoff up the middle, and just as Jackson started to cut to the left with a little bit of an opening, he's brought down just across the 45 to the 47.
Big stick for years. Teams have been probably. And then you toss in Moline and Olivan, and every once in a while, one of the other three will get them. In the Mid-Illini Conference, Morton, Dunlap, and some of the others are trying to rise to the level of Metamora and now Washington. Those are the cream of the crop, and Morton knows what they've got to do to try and get to that next level to get in the top echelon of their conference.
Streaks don't have a third down conversion tonight yet. This is third and six. Fake handoff to the right side. Steck with the keeper. Found some running room. Got some running room into the secondary. Trying to break free into Morton territory. Flipped down from behind at the 20-yard line to the 15. Steck didn't have a whole lot of running room after the fake pitch, but he got enough leg room to get a burst of speed going, and Morton finally did catch him, but not until he was into Potter territory at the 15.
And the only guy that could have caught him did catch him, and again, that name, Jed Lacy, coming up from behind, able to get enough of the jersey of Steck to drag him down from behind, and the Streaks, though, in business with 8:50 to go in the half.
Gain of 38 gives him 63 yards rushing on the evening from the 15. Handoff left side. Diggins across the hole. Cuts back to the middle. Across the 10. Down to about the 6-yard line. Good gain on first down. Streaks are close to another first down inside the Morton 7.
Ben, you got to give kudos to our offensive line. They were not getting much open up in the first possession or two, but now they are moving Morton off the ball, and the back's taking advantage of that. And our big front, and it's a good one, is getting the job done right now.
Gain of 8 for second and 2. 43 yards rushing tonight for Trayvon Diggins. Streaks knocking on the door, trying to tie the game. Diggins again, left side, tries to get to the outside, and wrapped up by a couple, now three, now four defenders who finally bring him down. Brendan Williams makes the initial hit to slow Trayvon down, but he might have enough for the first down. Ball sitting right at the 5. And is it going to be first and goal?
I think they've
switched
it over.
Looks like it is. Yep. 8 minutes to go, first half. Streaks down 13-6, but have a first and goal to Morton 5.
Streaks going off the left side of that line with Spinks and Finley over there on the left side. Of course, Ricketts in the snap in the center, and that's a pretty tough bunch to run behind.
Triple set backfield. Streaks packing in tight with the two tight end set. Steck on the keeper. Straight up the middle. And brought down just short of the goal line.
I can't believe they got him.
I can't either. He was going so fast, and I think it was DJ Zahn who's going to get credit for it. Those are the football from our angle. Looks like it's, I don't know, Jim, 8 inches from the goal line?
Yeah.
It's close.
Well, and again, when he took off up the middle, I thought he was just going to walk in and nobody touch him. Somebody must have clipped him from the side. Let's get it right here.
Second and goal from inside the Morton 1. Why not keep it again? He does. Steck gets down low. No signal yet from the officials. The line judge comes running in. The back judge unpiling everybody. No signal, no celebration. Third and goal. Yep. Wow.
You probably still do it again, though, because Steck, pretty sure-handed guy, can get low, a good runner, and he's running right behind Ricketts, who's right in front of him, plowing the way. And this may be another dog pile right up the middle.
It's truly inches to go for the Silver Streaks in an attempt to tie the game. Inside the Morton 1. Steck hands off this side. Diving across the end zone, goal line for the touchdown. Robert Jackson, his first of the night. And the Streaks are within 1.
Well, a nice drive. Couple of excellent runs. And you got something from everybody. Jackson early. And then Diggins with a nice run or two. And then Steck with the big run. And Diggins with another one to get us down to a 5. And everybody's contributing. And again, we call all these names in the backfield, but you got to love what's being done up front by the offensive line.
Makes it 13-12 with 6:27 to go in the first half. The Streaks moved that one into the wind, and now down 1, they're going to line up to go for 2. Steck hands off, fakes handoff to the right side, now looking to throw, and he overthrows everybody on the far side of the field. Jared Carl, the intended receiver, and throwing into the wind like that, although the wind had died down a little bit. And again, Jim, kind of an odd play call there. You would think they would just go for the kick, but maybe if special teams has been a key for the Morton Potters, then maybe the blocked kick, like we saw earlier, especially kicking into the wind this time, maybe Wes Olson has seen enough things on tape to think that they had a better chance of going for 2 there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, like you said, going into the wind, you might consider your chances of making the 2 just as good as the 1. I don't think we want to do that all the time, but it's early enough in this game that you don't sweat it too much, because at 13-12, you got to figure this game unless something changes, you're going to be looking at, you know, maybe a 30 to 28 type of game or something. So we got a lot of points yet to put up, I think, for both teams. I hope they're done scoring, but I kind of doubt it.
Might remember the Streaks' first play of that drive was the first play of the second quarter. They go 11 plays, 80 yards in 5 minutes and 33 seconds. Every play but one went for positive yardage. Carlson with an onside kick, and the Potters just fall on it at their own 45-yard line. So the Streaks try to catch the Potters off guard there a little bit and get the ball right back, but the kick took a pretty sure bounce right into the midsection of Ben Kirk, and that was an easy one for the Potters just to fall on.
Yeah, in hindsight, you're going, well, I don't know, but really, I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was a good chance. It's just unfortunate that it did take such a convenient hop right to Ben Kirk, who, like you said, just basically fell on the ball. If that ball happens to take a different bounce on the point, you're kicking into the wind, so you figure you're not going to kick it real deep anyway. It's a good time to go for an onside kick.
6:26 to go, second quarter. Streaks down 13-12. Morton with the ball for the first time, second quarter. Pass to the far side of the field, and he overthrows the intended receiver, Tristan Krapodzic, who was wide open in the flat on the far side of the field. But Rossi's pass just led him too much.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rossi, if he didn't already know, when you've got a fullback lumbering out there, you can't get in a hurry and throw a hard, high, fast pass. I mean, that's just, you know, the fullbacks don't catch those. You've got to get it pretty near them. They're not going to run the ball down going into the flat, and they're not going to be able to jump real high either. They're big, strong guys, and you've got to put it softly in their hands.
Credit to the Streaks defense for getting some pressure on Rossi so that he did have to get rid of it that quickly, though. I formation into the backfield, handoff to the left side. Zahn gets tripped up. He might have gotten tripped up by his own man.
I think he did.
And Zahn takes a tumble back at the 45, still no gain. Good battle going on across the left side of that Potters offensive line, and Zahn never really did get it going. In fact, even lost a couple of feet.
And Coach Wes Olson, as he has to do with a number of players, especially up front, going both ways, trying to get them plays off. This time Ryan Ricketts comes off the field on the third down and 10. And probably a good idea in the fact that, you know, Ryan's not a real big pass rusher. He's a big, strong force in there against the run. But against the pass, probably better to give him a blow and let somebody else come in.
Could be a real key play of this first half. So the Potters call a timeout with 5:45 to go in the second quarter, down 13-12 and facing third and 10 plus, almost third and 11. I'd like to thank one of our sponsors here on Silver Streaks Football on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan. Once a customer, always a friend, for providing our transportation to Morton this evening. Jim had the chance to bring us over in style in the 2009 Nissan Altima.
Yeah, that's right. Got comfortable on the leather seats there, and always makes the trip seem a little bit shorter when you're riding comfortably with a good friend. And so we had a good trip over. And so far, we're one for one on calling it just Galesburg Nissan. We might slip up and throw Lincoln Mercury in there at some point this year, but not on opening night here.
13-12, Morton Potters leading the Silver Streaks with 5:45 to go first half. First ever meeting between these two teams, which really surprised Jim and me
amazing.
Both as we looked that one up.
Of all the teams we've played from suburban Chicago and different places, and the first time we've played a team from an hour away over here in Morton.
Teams from out of state even.
Yeah.
Third and a long 10 for the Potters. In pass
formation,
Rossi under pressure. Now steps left, trying to get away from Cole Spinks. Good protection in the backfield, and he finally runs out of on the far side of the field, but he gains only a few yards as Cole Spinks came barging through the left side of the Streaks defensive line, and that's exactly the direction Rossi was headed. He turned and ran the other direction. Good job by the Potters to give him protection, but there was just nothing on that far side of the field, and it's fourth down, and they'll get to punt here.
If Cole Spinks was drawing a bead on me, I'd turn and go the other direction too. Good move by Rossi, and then great pursuit by the rest of the Streaks defense to not let him make something out of a broken play.
So he does gain three, but fourth and 7 coming up here, and a high kick to the far side of the field. Streaks will have some room.
Get in the end zone.
It rolls. Oh. It's going to be short, though, and the Potters pick it up at the 5. Well, that's a tough gamble. Robert Jackson watched it go. He was going to have to run quite a ways to his right to try to get under that one and get himself settled for the run back. He elected to let it go. It bounced at, I don't know, Jim, the 15 maybe, which is a long way to go to roll into the end zone.
Yeah, it just lost its momentum, and
It did take a big hop that direction, but just died at the five.
Even the wind can't blow it when it's on the ground like that. So, I guess job one here, you'd love to take it down the field with 5.5 minutes to go, and that can be done, but you do not want to turn it over here and give the Potters an opportunity for a gift score. Our defense seems to be settling in and giving them some problems. You don't want to give them a short field, so let's have ball security number one here.
Morton had the ball only 58 seconds. He'd like to reward the defense here by sustaining another long drive. A little handoff across the right side. Jackson didn't have much running room there. He's finally pulled down at the 10-yard line. Picks up a few on first down. Not a bad carry. Fairly safe call from that spot. Gain of five.
You know, we've seen some hits out here, but the best hit I saw all week was in a baseball game, Brad. I finally saw the highlights of that Nationals Florida. That guy
I did too.
Niger Morgan got clotheslined by somebody. That was the hit of the week.
He postured pretty well at the end of the whole thing as if he'd come out the better end of it, but he clearly did not. Under 5 minutes to go first half. Streaks trying for their first lead of the night. Diggins in pursuit in the backfield on his feet, but the knee went down back at the eight, so he loses a couple.
Linebacker Joe Fletterer, one of those there, comes up quickly.
Trayvon never had a chance there.
No, he didn't. He had two guys. He can juke one, but two solid players, Brendan Williams, the other one there, made sure that Trayvon wasn't going anywhere. So now a third and five, and the Streaks in no hurry. They're going to let some time work off that clock here before they snap it.
Be third and six, actually, from the 9-yard
line. Oh, after the loss, right.
Yep. So Streaks were 2-for-2 on third down conversions on the last drive, which ended up in a touchdown. Let's see if they can get a big third down conversion here. It is a handoff to the right side. Diggins trying to spin off a man, trying to spin off another one, but too many hands on him, and he's taken down just across the 11. He picks up a few, but this is going to be an awfully tough punting situation for Andrew Steck with the ball spotted at just short of the 12-yard line and 3:45 with the clock ticking in the second quarter.
Yeah, it's easy to say from up here. I would have loved to have seen Diggins plant that right foot and then cut to the sidelines. With his speed, I think he might have turned the corner and made something out of that play, but he elected to stay with his blockers and go inside, and just not much there.
Fernandez, Bjork, Andrew Starkey standing at the Galesburg 40-yard line, and the Streaks are going to call a timeout now as they are faced with a punt into a stiff wind with 3:28 to go in the first half. It was like the wind had just picked up, so maybe that's what the Streaks coaching staff is thinking here. Don't punt it just yet. Give that win maybe a little chance to die down, and let's talk about protecting our punter here to make sure that we don't get into a worse situation.
Yeah, I think an excellent timeout there, and you do want to guard against anything disastrous happening. You do take your chances with the punt, but you don't really have any choice. Steck's got a good leg when he hits it just right. Even against a win, he could probably kick it out towards the 40-yard line or so, but any kind of a return, you've got to think Morton probably going to come away with this ball inside the 40, maybe inside the 35-yard line here.
One thing's for sure, it'll be in Galesburg territory. And hopefully out in the area of the 40 would be certainly preferable, which is where both punt returners are waiting. Steck just inside the goal line in his own end zone. Carl providing protection as the up man. 3:28 to go in the first half. Morton leading 13-12. Good snap. Not a bad kick by Steck, but then the wind knocks it down short of the 35-yard line, and it rolls forward across the 40 to the 43.
That's as good as you can hope
for. And Starkey just let it roll. Yeah,
yeah,
I think so.
And there were several Silver Streaks already down there when the ball landed. Diggins was one of them. And so excellent coverage. Cedric Washington, another one down there on that coverage. And again, a tip of the cap to the long snapper there too, because so many times you forget about that until they make a bad snap, how important that is. And that was a nice chest-high snap to Steck. And so the Streaks defense will try and stiffen up here with 3:19 to go before half.
That's Ryan Hickey on the snapping duties. Bjork in motion to the far side. Handoff goes to the left side. Popodzik, the fullback, rumbling across the 40-yard line before he's stacked up and pushed backwards. He'll gain about 5 to the 39, and it'll be second down. So the Morton defense does what it had to do, just as the Silver Streaks defense did on the previous possession. And Morton gets good field position with 3:19 to go in the first half, and now second and seven coming up. In motion, Bjork takes the pitch, cuts up the middle, dragged down from behind, thrown down close to the 35-yard line.
Tremaine got third and short. Well, Tremaine Carson's doing a heck of a job at linebacker. You know, again, Sean Hickey said he's a, you know, terrific attitude, good athlete. As long as he makes his assignments and reads, he's going to be terrific.
Practically a no huddle, and now we've got whistles as I think we've got false start. Yeah, we do have a false start on the Morton Potter. So they tried to go no huddle, trying to keep the Streaks defense off guard, especially in good field position, but they no huddled too aggressively. Back to the 41-yard line. So only the first penalty of the game for the Morton Potters. So now, instead of third and three, this is great for the Silver Streaks. It forces them back to third and eight now. And in the I formation, as they settle things, they switch things up a little bit. Rossi back, taking the snap, and we've got another whistle. This might be a timeout. It is. Potters call timeout. 2:12 to go in the first half, 13-12. Morton on top of the Galesburg Silver Streaks. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Rumor has it I'm fussy, especially when it comes to what I eat. The label needs to say gluten-free, and I better not see wheat, corn, or soy on the label either. That's why my owner shops Thorns and comes home with the tastiest meals, like the new line of canned foods from Eagle Pack. Turkey, beef, chicken, or lamb. They're a meal by themselves or a nice side dish. Mm-mm. I can't get enough.
Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
WGIL and the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation congratulate Lori Cole of Galesburg, who found the duck today at Denim and Pearls. Congratulations from WGIL.
Waterboys scramble off the field coming out of the timeout. I formation for Rossi, the quarterback. Back to pass, gets hit by his own man, and then has to throw the ball away quickly as he was under great pressure in the backfield. Drew Carlson got a hand on him as Rossi has to throw the ball away incomplete, and a great stop by the Silver Streaks defense on third down with 2:09 to go in the first half.
Yeah, nice to see the Silver Streaks getting some penetration. We didn't have many of those opportunities last year, and this time tonight, maybe once Rossi's gone back and been able to look over the field. Otherwise, the Streaks have hurried everything up, and that time it was Drew Carlson, who played a great game last week.
And a snap over Brent Rassi's head back inside the 40-yard line. Now he runs forward into the kick, and he gets a high one away, bounces inside the Galesburg 20, and then rolls straight to the sideline, where the Silver Streaks will have it at the 17. Had Galesburg been trying to block the kick, had they been putting any pressure in the backfield at all, this play would have completely turned the other way. But as it was, Rassi was able to chase it down and then scramble to the left and run into a pretty good kick. And a real break for Morton there, that Galesburg didn't put any pressure on the ball.
Yeah, you might call that one a Morton miracle, because that, I think the long snapper, just he knew he was snapping into the wind, so he overcompensated and snapped it clear over Rossi's head. And a lot of times when a guy kicks on the run, it's not a very good kick. Well, he got off a pretty darn good kick in the running to his left that time.
1:56 to go first half, 13-12 Morton. Galesburg with the ball from their own 17. Pitch into the backfield. Jackson tries to cut back to the middle. Found a hole in a good open field tackle. The ball pops out. Scramble for it across the 30-yard line.
I thought he was on the ground,
Brad. I did, too. Let's see what the officials are going to call this. I thought that ball should have been played called dead. And they're going to give it to the Potters.
Well, it looked to me like the ground forced that fumble.
Boy, I thought so, too. The coaching staff up here in the press box certainly thinks so, and so do a lot of the Galesburg fans on this side of the field, and I've got to agree with them.
Yeah, you'd like to see one of the officials take charge of that, but he didn't. So let's hope that doesn't cost the Silver Streaks points here with a minute 44 to go before halftime.
Second turnover of the night. The last one, Morton was able to score on the next possession. Potters take over. DJ's on, stacked up across the right side of the line. Still moves the pile forward across the 30. And with a minute 35 to go in the first half, Morton will face second and five coming up here.
You know, on that fumble by Jackson, he wasn't far from breaking that for a long one.
No.
He turned that corner and got into the secondary a little bit. And then the one tackle forces the fumble.
Morton with the win. Single setback formation. Handoff to Podzik. And a nice job by Carlson to ride him from the backside and bring him down at the 25. Drew was doing everything he could to bring down the big fullback Popodzik, and he slowed him down enough to get some help. Under a minute to go, first half.
Yeah, Drew really went to the rodeo that time, and what a gutsy effort. If you can't bring him down, just hang on till your teammates show up and help you out, and that's exactly what Drew Carlson did.
Well, the officials give the Silver Streaks a break here by calling a brief, stopping the play briefly. Bjork in motion, takes the pitch, trying to get to the far side of the field. Drilled at the 25-yard line.
Tremaine Carson.
Tremaine with a huge tackle as Bjork skipped over D. Dortch in the backfield and then just plowed into Tremaine Carson for no gain.
And he's shaky getting up. He's trying to shake that one off. He's hobbling over to the sideline as Carson laid a lick on him there and a great solo tackle.
And the clock rolls with 36 seconds to go in the first half. Ball spotted at the 25-yard line, and Morton looks content to take as much time off the clock here and not run a fourth down play. Well, the Streaks will take some defensive momentum off that one.
Well, they're going to do something here, I'm sure, and I've got to think the way they're letting the clock go, they'd probably try a field goal. It'd be 42 yards. I'm not sure what kind of leg they've got on their kicker, but he's got a big win behind him.
Well, and remember, he was only 2 for 5 on extra point attempts last week.
Yeah, so they may just pull back and throw a Hail Mary into the end zone, but they do have one play to do something here. But I think they're sending the field goal kicker out. There's the tee.
So we do have a timeout. They let the clock run all the way down to the last second before getting a delay of game penalty. With 13.1 seconds to go in the first half, Potter's leading 13-12. And let's see what Connor Kindred can do. He's just a sophomore. Made his only extra point attempt kicking this evening. This is going to be about a 43-yarder. Ball will be snapped to about the 33-yard line with a good stiff west wind behind him. And the Streaks get a hand on it.
I think it was heard.
It's tipped, and Drew Carlson picks it up at the 10, still on his feet. Now he's trying to cut back to the middle, bounces off another defender, still on his feet, but he's finally wrapped up and taken down at the 20-yard line. Kevin Hurd gives such a hard chest bump to Tremaine Carson, he about knocked him over.
I'm excited just watching Kevin come off the field. Man, is he pumped up.
And that's how the first half ends. Well, we saw a lot in these first two quarters. And for everything that happened, you'd think it was more than a 13-12 game right now, but the Potters lead the Silver Streaks by one, and the defense really shone in the second quarter. When we come back on the halftime show, our featured guest tonight, Jim Lee, had a chance to visit with Knox College head football coach Chad Isley. We'll also give you some halftime statistics. Well, of course, we'll get a word with assistant coach Jay Bartschinger as well and find out what the Streaks talk about in the locker room at the half. Down at Morton, but just by a point. 13-12 Potters with the lead. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Are you a diehard sports fan?
Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land.
The Mecca of sports equipment apparel.
We love sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breedlove's for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breedlove's Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
The official WGIL forecast tonight is brought to you by financial advisor Jack Crockett, Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC.
Serving you in the same location for over 18 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg, number SIPC. Tonight, clear and cool, low 49. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 70. Tomorrow night, clear, low 50. On to Sunday, sunny, high of 80. Sunday night, clear, low 59. And Labor Day, sunny, high of 84. Right now, it's 67 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football. I'm Jim Lee for WGIL, and our halftime feature this week focuses on Knox College and first-year head coach Chad Isley. And Chad, maybe you cringe a little when you hear that first-year head coach because it makes it sound like you're a rookie to the coaching ranks, and that's far from true, right?
Well, yeah, I have had experience at Lake Forest for 5 years and at Minnesota State Moorhead for a year. But coming back to your alma mater and being the head coach for first year, it does the jitters are first-game jitters are back, that's for sure.
Well, of course, you've been an assistant here as well. You know Andy real well, who's now an assistant on your staff. So I guess it's got to make the transition a little more comfortable, right?
Oh, absolutely. And this, you know, it's having Andy around and his experience to run our defense, it makes my job a lot easier. And my day job of being the athletic director as well keeps me busy. And to have somebody with that experience on your staff really helps keep things flowing during the day when I've got some other things that I have to do.
You mentioned you had been the head coach at Lake Forest, and that was one of the highlights of many years of football there because they had a conference champion and really kind of came up out of nowhere to do that. It caught a lot of people by surprise. Do you think this Knox program is in the state where maybe you could do the same thing, or is it a little bigger project?
No, it's in the same area. You know, when we took over at Lake Forest, they hadn't had a winning program in a long time, and it's been since 2002 since we've had a winning season here. And I think it was 18 years when we took over at Lake Forest. So it's getting the guys to believe in themselves. We've got good talent on this team. We've got a lot of young talent, and we'll play quite a few freshmen and sophomores throughout the season. But it's getting them to believe in themselves and have the confidence that they can do it.
I understand you're looking at spreading the offense out, throwing the ball a little bit more. Tell us how that's coming as you head towards your first game here.
Well, we're going to the pistol spread offense, which is allows us to still run the ball. We'll run it out of zone instead of the veer, but it allows us to move our receivers around. So if somebody wants to load the box with eight people, then we're going to have the ability to throw the ball on them. And if they're going to play six in the box, then we can play games with them and be able to run the ball. We're still a run-first offense. If you look at teams that run it at a higher level, University of Nevada led the country in rushing last year, had three 1,000-yard rushers, two running backs, and a quarterback. So we certainly want to rush the football but have the ability to throw the ball as well.
Will it be anything like what we've seen over at Monmouth where they've got plays on their wrist and it seems like it's kind of a helter-skelter type of wide-open offense?
Yeah. Yes, we've got 100 and about 148 plays on their wristbands, and so there's quite a few different combinations that we'll do, and we're going to give a lot of different looks and a lot of different motions and keep people on their toes that way.
It makes it exciting, I think, for the fans to watch all this happen too, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and it being spread, it allows us, you know, to run reverses easier, to run halfback passes, things like that. Gives us the opportunity to do those. So it's going to be an energetic offense, that's for sure.
I suppose one of the things you always think of, though, when you start making bigger playbooks and more options in plays is ball security. Many times that can wreck a good offensive run, and that's probably job one for you.
Yes, it is. I mean, that's, you know, we talk to our guys all the time about keeping the ball and when we've got it, moving the football down the field position and how important it is. And we had our team scrimmage this past weekend, and you know, we'd move the ball and we'd get three or four first downs and we'd have a bad snap, and all of a sudden it's second and 20, and it's going to happen every now and then, and we know it, but it just can't happen on a regular basis.
Does it put more pressure on the quarterback?
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, we've got a three-year starter in Bill Meyer coming back, a two-time captain for us, and he's a guy I trust wholeheartedly and know that he'll make the right decision more times than not.
You're coming up on your opener. Sounds like it'll be a tough one down there at Washington University in St. Louis.
It will be. Larry Kimbaum's done a great job down there. He's, I think, the eighth all-time winningest Division III football coach. He runs a great program down there, and they're just the opposite of us. They'll start 18 juniors and seniors, and we'll start, you know, 15 freshmen and sophomores. So it's a young team versus an experienced team, and we're excited about it. They don't know what we're going to be doing offensively and defensively, so we'll see if we can catch them off guard.
Well, in that opener, whether you're high school or college scheduling that game, it's kind of a fine line. You want to have a good test early, but you don't want to get overwhelmed, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's when you play nine conference games and one non-conference game, you want to be tested. To win 56 to nothing or to lose 56 to nothing, it's hard to learn the lessons out of that on how good you really are in those situations. And I think WashU will be a very good test for us. We're going to have to play our A game, and if we do, I think we'll be very competitive and have a chance to win at the end.
Team pretty healthy going in, Chad?
We are healthy. We've got no injuries to speak of, and looking forward to everybody traveling down to St. Louis on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice and cool again, I think, for Saturday's game, which will help.
Yeah, I think they're calling for a high of 81, so we're actually wondering if we should bring jackets down there, so which in St. Louis in early September is an unusual thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Best of wishes to the Prairie Fire. We'll keep in touch with you hopefully on a weekly basis as you get through the season here, and go Knox.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Chad Eisley, head coach of Knox, our guest here on the Silver Streaks pregame, and we'll continue with more from Morton High School as the halftime report continues on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
The Other White Meat is getting its annual celebration in Henry County this weekend. The 57th annual Kewaunee Hog Day celebration starts today and runs through Labor Day. Organizers say in addition to what has become known as the world's largest pork chop barbecue, there's a road race on Saturday, nearly constant live entertainment, craft and flea markets, and other activities throughout town. Many of the events are free. The first game at Southern Illinois University's first football game at its new stadium was a sellout. SIU Athletic Director Mario Mocha says 15,000 people attended Thursday's SIU Quincy game at the new Saluki Stadium. That's about 300 people over capacity. Mocha tells the Southern Illinois newspaper that a typical home opener usually draws about 8,000 people. It was the first sellout in more than 20 years. I'm Emily Ford. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Husso. After sideswiping the Outer Banks of North Carolina, the outer bands of Hurricane Earl are starting to bring wind and waves to Nantucket.
A lot of people put off their Cape weekend. Others are here just for Earl.
Because we are daring and we love the Cape.
Sylvie and a friend Greta came from the Worcester area, booking rooms right on the beach.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson in Yarmouth, Massachusetts. One of the big concerns, power outages.
We do have a generator for the property, so that covers the restaurant and the kitchen. It covers the front desk.
Roderick Anderson owns a resort on Martha's Vineyard. New ideas set to come out of the White House next week on how to get the sputtering economy back on track.
I want all Americans to remind themselves there are better days ahead.
President Obama renewing his call to the Senate to pass a small business aid bill. Republicans want the president to replace his economic team. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the Galesburg Electric Halftime Report. Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. The station Galesburg tunes to for news, talk, and Silver Streaks football. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Welcome back to Morton High School, where the Silver Streaks trail the Potters at half, 13-12. An exciting first half tonight, Jim.
I don't think you could have any more. I mean, maybe some more points, but I think the thing that I take away from this first half was the last three defensive plays that we had, and from three different guys, by Kevin Hurd with the blocked kick, but Tremaine Carson with the big hit, that electrified everybody, and Drew Carson riding their big fullback until somebody could bring him down. So the defense takes a lot of momentum into that locker room.
So the Streaks trail by one, but there's been a lot of excitement, and some fumbles have been kind of some key plays here in this first half, and really only one that really mattered and amounted to anything. Morton had the ball to start off the game, ran a few plays, and then fumbled it away. So the Streaks got it back in Potter territory at the 45-yard line. But on the second play, Steck lost a fumble, a bad handoff. Two plays later, Morton finally kind of got on the scoreboard, kind of got things going. But we weren't even 2.5 minutes into the game. The Potters took over at their own 38-yard line after the Steck fumble. Popodzic ran at 3 yards, and then we found out just how fast state track star DJ Zahn is for the Morton Potters as he touched the ball on the next possession. Just underway in the first quarter. Pitch to the right side. Zahn gets down to the far side of the field. Gets down low. Gets the shoulders low. Breaks free, and he's gone down the far sideline. A long touchdown run for the Morton Potters, who take an early 6-0 lead at the 9:45 mark. The extra point made it 7-0. Streaks on the next possession. Moved the ball back into Morton territory, but stalled out on downs on try to direct win behind them and tried a little sneak play on fourth down, but it didn't result in anything. So the Potters took over on the very first play of the next possession. Zahn fumbled the ball away again, and the Streaks took over at the Potter 31-yard line, but they had a 5-yard delay penalty. Trayvon Diggins lost 3 yards on a carry. There was an incomplete pass, and the Streaks just couldn't do anything with it. Morton also stalled out on a 3-and-out on the next possession, and then the Streaks got it back with a minute 43 to play in the first quarter. The win behind them, they really kind of started to move things along quickly. They started it from the Potters' 32-yard line. Jackson finally started to find some running room. The Potters were keying on him pretty intensely. Started to find some holes as the Streaks' offensive line created some opportunities for him. He gained 7 on, picked up 5. Then Diggins picked up 5, and suddenly the Streaks had it at the Morton 15-yard line just like that and got right back into the game. It's fake handoff by Steck, rolling to the near side. He'll keep it to the 10, to the 5, touchdown! With 8.9 seconds to go in the first quarter, Steck rolls it in for the final 20 yards, and the final 50 yards, and the Streaks get within a point here. With a little misdirection here, a little misdirection there, but unfortunately Drew Carlson's kick was blocked, so the Streaks still trailed by a score of 7-6. That left only 4 seconds on the clock at the end of the first quarter, and unfortunately, after the Streaks' kick, that was more than enough time for Morton to make something happen again. Penetration in the backfield, but Morton breaks it. Now up the middle, and this is going to be a long run by Fernandez Bjork. Streaks in pursuit on the far side of the field at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. That's a touchdown, no flags, and what a wild first quarter that brings to an end. It was 13-6 as Morton tried the pass play for the conversion, but it fell incomplete, so the Streaks were still down by just 7 points. So Galesburg had the ball to start off the second quarter, now working into the wind after a deep kick for a touchback, and the Streaks started at their own 20-yard line. They ran the next 11 plays for positive yardage except for one. An 11-yard run by Jackson, a 38-yard run by Steck was thrown into the middle of that scoring drive. They finally got it down to first and goal on the 5. Steck took it the first 4. Didn't quite get it across the goal line on the sneak for the next play. So, rather than Steck doing the dirty work, he handed it off on the 11th play of this scoring drive. Inside the Morton 1. Steck hands off this side, diving across the end zone, goal line. For the touchdown, Robert Jackson, his first of the night, and the Streaks are within one. It was an 11-play scoring drive that covered 80 yards, 5.5 minutes, and nobody scored the rest of the way. The Streaks went for 2 on that one rather than going for the extra point and tying it up. And that's where we stand at the half, 13-12. Let's go down to the field. Jim Lee is with assistant coach Jay Barshinger.
Jay Barshinger here at halftime. And, Coach, you've got to like what you saw as this team left the field. Three big defensive plays in a row. I would think the guys got to be pretty pumped up.
Oh, absolutely. I think defensively we've given up two big plays. Other than that, I think our defense has really done a great job of controlling the game.
You know, early when this game started in the first 7-8 minutes, I thought, well, I don't know, maybe Morton's got a little too much for us. But the last quarter and a half, I'm pretty convinced we may have the superior team, but we've just got to be able to avoid mistakes, I guess, and get it done.
Yeah, we got to hang on to the ball. That's obviously number one. Turn the ball over three times there, and you can't do that. And we turn the ball over three times, you're down by 1 point. So that's not too bad. But you're right, we got to do a better job hanging on to the ball and just keep executing, and we can move the ball.
The first series or two, we had a little trouble moving the ball, and then it seemed like the offensive line really started to make some things happen, and your back started running hard.
Yeah, you know, our line is convinced that they can control the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that opens up everything we do. You know, early on, they've got some pretty good speed in the outside, kind of match the speed for speed, but I think run up the middle, we've had a better success.
Andrew Steck had the nice run, put us in position, tried the goal line run, couldn't get it in. We thought you'd probably go with another one, but you decided to go with Jackson, and it worked.
Well, actually, we went with Jackson three times in a row, and he audibled that, and it was a great call by Andrew. They weren't covering the nose, and the first one, he went straight in and thought he had that, and then they covered the nose up the second time, and then went back the third time, and Robert got in.
All right, so all in all, the mood of the locker room was real positive then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we got to do a better job, and we understand that, but it's a fun football game. That's what it's all about.
All right, thanks, Jay.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
13-12 at the half. Morton leads the Silver Streaks. One final timeout. Second half action coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Imagine if someone would pay you for living. Pekin Insurance new return and premium life insurance policy does just that. Your beneficiary will receive the full death benefit if something happens to you, and the policy will return the amount you paid in premiums if you're still living at the end of the 20-year term and have kept the policy in force. Talk to Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance agency, about a money-back guarantee on your life insurance. Return and premium life insurance. That's coverage that goes beyond the expected.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Through the statistics as we work our way up, but we're with the Galesburg Silver Streaks trailing by just a point here as we get ready to start the third quarter, 13-12. Freshmen lost tonight, 32-8 in the preliminary game. Galesburg and Morton in their first ever meeting in the long history of these two high schools' football programs. Galesburg trying to go 2-0 for the first time since 1982. Wow. But they're right in this game, and Galesburg will have the ball to start the second half, and they will be working into the win, so that's good news in terms of the long-term duration of this game. Silver Streaks will have the wind in the fourth quarter, although their longest scoring drive of the night was moving, what do we say, east to west down this football field.
Well, you know, our predictions for a good game tonight have certainly come to pass. The worst prediction I made, though, is the wind would be dying down because it hasn't one bit. I'm glad it's early September, so that's not the cold wind that you get in October.
High spinning kick and a fairly short one into the wind. Feel it at the 5-yard line. Trayvon Diggins to the 20 and then hit and pushed back as he got stopped just short of the 25-yard line. Pretty big smack to start off the third quarter here. For the Silver Streaks, 29 carries in the first half for 169 yards. Let's see, Andrew Steck, the leading rusher in terms of yardage, 8 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. Robert Jackson, 9 carries, 49 yards and a touchdown. And Trayvon Diggins had the most carries of the night, 10 for 46 yards. Streaks will have the ball starting off the third quarter here. First down from the 24-yard line. Double set backfield. Diggins goes in motion. Handoff up the middle. Just not a lot of running room there as the Streaks get stacked up and pushed backwards. Jackson just had nowhere to go with that one.
Well, one of the most interesting things I thought Jay Barshinger told us at halftime, and encouraging, he said the offensive line says they feel like they can control this game up front. Well, they didn't on that play, but by and large, when you got an offensive line with that kind of confidence up there, that's a good sign, and just hopefully they won't get too worn down. Again, a lot of the guys playing both ways here tonight, and that'll be the case all season long.
I was going to say, it doesn't hurt when some of that offensive line is the defensive stars at the end of that second quarter. Steck with the carry, slowly trying to work his way across the left side of the line, picks up a couple. It'll be third down for the Silver Streaks upcoming. Some other statistics to give you. Holloway had a single carry for 5 yards. Jared Carl had a carry on a fourth down fake punt for a couple of yards. Steck passed the ball only twice, completing one for 6 yards to Andy Holloway. Gives Steck 3 yards on that carry, so he's up to 70 yards rushing on the night on 9 carries. Third and 7 upcoming for the Silver Streaks from their own 27-yard line. Stack at the line brings everybody set. Now in motion, Holloway to the far side of the field. Double fake handoff to Diggins in the backfield. Skips past a man. Has the first down across the 35-yard line. And a great second effort to make the dive forward and move the chains.
Boy, what a read by Diggins that time, because I think he was initially looking to come outside and then found a little spot to sneak through. And he's got such quick acceleration, and he runs low and made it happen. That's a big first down, so you keep possession to open the second half. Working into the wind.
Gain of 9 from the 36-yard line. Diggins with 55 yards rushing on the evening now. Triple set backfield. One wide out to the far side of the field. That's Jared Carl. Handoff up the middle. Jackson with the carry. Still fighting forward across the 40-yard line. And he'll be about 4 yards short of the first down marker. But Jackson just kept things moving and kept things moving. And he made it a lot out of what didn't look like was going to be very much there.
Yeah, he did. That was a very tough run by Jackson. Most guys go down after a yard or two there. But he kept it moving, used some upper body strength to lean forward. And Streaks now on a 2nd and 4. Gives you a lot of different play options to call here.
Diggins splits out wide to the far side of the field. Jared Carl to the near side. Offset backfield behind Steck. Fake handoff. Steck will keep it. Finds an opening across the right side and hit just short of the first down marker at the 45-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 1 upcoming for the Streaks.
Well, much like what we saw a couple of times in the first half, Steck looked like he was going to get some big, big yardage, but then quickly got shut down. That time, big John Lawson. Defensive lineman, he goes 6'2", 240, so that gives you an idea why Steck got stopped in his tracks pretty quickly there when he got hit by the big boy.
About a yard short of the first down marker, 3rd and 1 for the Streaks. Carl to the near side, triple set backfield for the Streaks again. Just underway in the third quarter. Handoff straight up the middle. That's a first down. Jackson across midfield into Potter territory at the 47-yard line. Good hole by the left side of that offensive line. And the Streaks move the chains for their 2nd straight third down conversion.
Well, the best things that could happen here if we continue with it would be a nice sustained drive to establish dominance here in the third quarter that ended up in 6 points. But again, as both teams have laid it down a few times tonight, you don't want to see a turnover, but right now the Streaks moving the ball effectively on the ground.
So after no gain on the first play of the drive, the Streaks have gone positive yardage each of the last 6. Hand off to the right side. Not much running room for Diggins there. Now he finds an opening. Bursts back toward the middle of the field, and he gets across the Potter 45 to about the 43.
Well, in another case of the running backs just running exceptionally hard here to open up this second half, as again Jackson picks up yards where there weren't many to be had. Matt Hungate for Morton makes the tackle. He's a defensive lineman, a junior at 235. They got some big kids up front that are sure tacklers.
2nd and 5, 7:55 to go, second half. Third quarter underway, Streaks down by 1, and Cole Spinks jumps across the left side of the line. That'll be a 5-yard penalty against the Streaks. Only the 2nd penalty tonight for Galesburg, though. Well, the 2nd one that was accepted anyway. Had one earlier that was waved off. So it'll be 2nd and 10 now, back to the Morton 47-yard line. Clock rolling, under 8 minutes to go, third quarter. Freshman lost tonight, 32-8. Varsity trailing by a point here, 13-12, but Galesburg on the move at the Morton 47-yard line. Diggins goes in motion, takes the pitch, up around his helmet, does a nice job to bring it in and across the 43-yard line to about the 42 before he's brought down. So he gains those 5 yards back after the penalty. But the Streaks will face third and about five here.
Well, we don't call Andy Holloway's name much, but he's made some key blocks, and he did right there. He took Zahn completely out of that play. Holloway giving up quite a bit of size to Zahn, certainly height. He's given up about 8 inches out there, but he just got underneath him and pushed him right out of that play and made some room for his back.
Call it third and four for the Silver Streaks. Can they convert on third down again and keep the chains moving? Streaks pack it in tight here. Diggins goes in motion. Handoff straight up the middle, and the offensive line helping push things forward into first down territory at the Morton 35-yard line. Another great surge by the offensive line, and the Streaks move the chains.
Yeah, some of these yards have come compliments of strong running. That one was strong blocking, as you called it, Brad, and Jackson just followed the big boys up front that time, and the plow horses got it done. And the Streaks in business with their third straight first down as they march on towards the west.
How nice to see that that penalty did not slow down this drive. Third straight third down conversion for the Streaks. A gain of 7 to the Morton 35-yard line. Fake handoff up the middle. Penetration in the backfield. And Steck just has to cover up the ball. Move forward for a gain of maybe a couple. And he's lucky to get that.
I had trouble figuring out whether that was actually designed to be a keeper or whether he just wasn't comfortable giving it up, because it looked like both he and Jackson had their hands on it for a while. And Steck just getting the short gain of a yard or two and just lived to play another down.
Second and 8 from the Potter 33-yard line. We are at the midpoint of the third quarter. The Streaks have had the ball all of the second half so far on the move. Big hole for Jackson. And just as he cut back to the middle of the field, he is brought down with a nice open field tackle by Brent Rassi. And he stopped, looks to be right at the first down marker. Let's see where the spot is here. Just short of the 25-yard line. The officials eyeball it. And are you going to have a measurement? Nope. He's a yard short, all right.
Again, that another play that looked like it was going to go for big yardage. And a great solo tackle by Rossi for Morton kept it from being maybe a touchdown.
So third and one for the Silver Streaks. Steck with a keeper. Good forward surge, and he gets stacked up and then pushed backwards, and great penetration by the Morton defensive line, as that time it was Jacob Peatfish who came across. Steck kept the legs moving. They're going to move the ball just at the 25-yard line, and it won't be enough for the first down, so the Streaks will go for it on fourth and inches. At least it looks like they'll go for it on fourth and inches.
Yeah, Peatfish showed some big upper body strength that time as he wrapped up Steck and threw him back. He's a big guy, but He made a big play there, and now we've got a timeout taken for measurement.
Good, because I thought they were closer on after the second down play to a first down than they were after this, and can't see the angle. He's just
an inch.
It's so close, we can't really tell. The official had his fingers so close together.
Well, I had the binoculars out, and that looked to be about what it was. So, conventional wisdom says you can usually fall forward for an inch, especially when you're running behind Ryan Ricketts. But this Morton defense, when they know it's coming, has been pretty tough inside on those quarterback keeps.
Streaks don't have a fourth down conversion yet this season. Stacked up at the line. Instead, he hands off. Diggins dives across the 25-yard line. The knee is down behind the 25. The ball is across the 25. That should be a first down, but it's going to be dependent on what the officials say. No, they're not even going to measure. We got the side judge just saying it's going the other direction.
Yeah, Wes Olson over there asking about it, and the side judge was pointing the other way almost before Diggins even hit the ground that time.
He dove forward, and I thought for sure that the ball came down, and Wes Olson is getting some kind of harsh words from the line judge here, from the side judge. And the Galesburg sideline is trying to get their players back out into the field. They're not ready to give this one up yet, but the referee just said it's going the other way. So now they got to get the defense set. Boy. Tough way to finish on downs there. Potters take over at their own 25-yard line. Hand off to the near side. Defense has to recover, and after what looked to be an initial hole there for Popodzic. Galesburg does cover it up to the 30.
But he's able to rumble out, I think, probably his biggest gain of the night, wasn't it? If he got 6 or 7 yards there?
Yep. Yeah, he had 4 carries for 8 yards up to this point. Boy, that's tough for the Silver Streaks, but you got to give Morton's defense credit there for stopping him there on 3rd and short and then 4th and inches. Disappointing, nevertheless, for the Silver Streaks. And a flag just as the play gets underway. Handoff goes to the right side. Zahn to the 35.
Ran into Spinks.
This may be coming back.
Flag was in the Morton backfield.
Yep, false start. So that negates the play. And a sarcastic cheer from the Galesburg faithful down below us as we thought that a fumble that got called on the Silver Streaks earlier should not have been a fumble, and I'm not so sure. Maybe the Streaks didn't get robbed on the spot of that football down there earlier. With sure looked to me like Diggins got that ball into first down territory before his knee came down. But you're on the road, and you play on. You forget about it, and you move on, as the coaches will tell you.
Yeah, the old saying is, it is what it is, and the thing is, you can, if you're the Streak sidelines, moan about that, and you may be justified in doing so, but the game's going on. You got to send your defense out there and just get a big stop right here and get the ball right back.
So a 5-yard penalty takes it back to 2nd and 10, negating the Popodzic gain from earlier. Handoff goes to the left side. Zahn trying to get to the outside, burst forward, and somebody got him from behind and slowed him down just enough. I think it was Chaz Benton who got a hand on him.
You're right.
And slowed down Zahn just enough to prevent what would have been a huge run. It's a first down as it is, but it could have been a lot more.
Yeah, and really this game is kind of developing into a grinded-out Galesburg team that I think is better from scrimmage by and large, but the big play capacity of Morton is just scary.
Handoff goes to the far side of the field, and another big gainer on first down. This will be just short of the 50-yard line before the Streaks finally slow down Zahn again and move the chains again. And the defense needs to pickle up here because he's come real close to running off a couple of long ones, and they're just short of midfield now at their own 49-yard line.
It's been a fast third quarter, and this is an excellent high school football game. This is everything that we hoped it would be here tonight.
Packed backfield. Zahn again. He goes to the left side again, and the Streaks read it better this time. But he's into Galesburg territory at the 48. Gain of 3. And they keep pounding the left side of that offensive line until the Streaks can stop it. That gives Zahn 100 yards rushing on the night now on just 9 carries. You remember he had the big 59-yard run all the way back in the first quarter that accounted for more than half of his yardage on the evening. From the Galesburg 48-yard line. Streaks jumping on the near side, no flag down. Handoff left side, Popodzic, as they switch it up from the speed to the bulk. And a good run to the far side of the field, the home side of the field, and this will be close to a first down.
Yeah,
and they do move the chains at the 40.
I marked it right at the 40, and normally you don't see your fullback going to the sidelines, but that's the way they went to the short side of the field that time, and he was able to turn the corner a little bit and rumble for an extra 4 or 5 yards and push the pile on a first down Potters.
From the Streaks 40 with 2:18 to play in the third quarter. Galesburg trailing 13-12. Left side handoff, and the Streaks penetration across the right side of that defensive line does a better job closing the hole quickly, and Popodzic picks up maybe a yard in forward progress.
Yeah, Spinks got the helmet right on the legs of Popodzic, and then Carlson came over high and finished him off. There were a few other Streaks in the neighborhood, but those two were the primary tacklers for Galesburg on that trip.
9th play of the drive coming up for the Potters. Their longest sustained drive of the evening. 2nd and 9. Pitch into the backfield. Zahn can't handle
it.
The ball is on the floor. And the Streaks recover it at the 41-yard line. I think it was Drew Carlson who chased it down. And we got a couple of Streaks who are slow to get up. Cole Spinks is slow to get up. Closer to the near side of the field, Tom Hawkins is calling for somebody to come out and give. Is he calling for athletic trainer Denise Polworth? A couple of the coaches are swarming around whoever's there now, and Denise Polworth does come out, the athletic trainer for the Silver Streaks. And
looks to be a cramp.
That's isn't that funny? We talked about that at the top of the game, saying you can't assume that's not going to happen because it's cooler. And sure enough, here's a, let's hope that's all it is anyway. But more importantly, a bad pitch to DJ Zahn. You can't really fault the kid. They just didn't get it to him. Rossi just didn't pitch it to him hard enough. And he stretched those long arms out, juggled it. It finally got on the ground, and the Streaks recover it at the Morton 41-yard line. So a huge play there as the Potters really had some offensive momentum going, and now the Streaks have it back with a minute 36 to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, that ball was bouncing on the ground for a while, and
sure,
you know it was a free-for-all in the strip of the nose for all that time. Spinks was over there again, like you said, Carlson. And, again, on the field now, I've got to think it's they're holding the – pulling on the toes, and usually that's a sign that you've got a cramp situation. Again, let's hope that's all it is. And now, yeah, he's whoever it is sitting up, I can't even tell who's down.
We never did get a good look at the number.
It's
Jared Carl.
Yep. And he's off limping, but it's a muscle thing. So we make light of it, but it hurts like heck when you're going through it. There, it's kind of like getting the wind knocked out of you. Everybody knows you're going to be okay, but you're not sure you're not going to die for a few seconds there.
Well, when the toes on my right foot curled up in the middle of the night the other night, and I woke up at 2:30 in the morning with one of those, it sure didn't feel good.
No. Well, and you're trying to be discreet about it when you're not to wake your wife up, but it's pretty tough.
Hopping around in the bedroom, stretching that leg out. Quick handoff to the right side, and Jackson with a burst into Morton, just short of Morton territory at the 49-yard line. Quick handoff, a little hole, and Jackson was through it quickly for a gain of 7.
This quarter has just flown by. Minute 20 and counting as both teams have kept it on the ground, moved it effectively. But nobody scored.
Nobody scored yet, right. So the Silver Streaks still trail by 1. Jackson is up to 88 yards rushing now on a 2nd and 3. 13-12, Potters leading, coming to the end of the third quarter. Handoff up the middle, not a bad hole again. Now looks like the ball's on the ground. Nope, there was a little scramble for it. Jackson did hold on to it, though. He's into Morton territory at the 45-yard line. And he's getting very close to 100 yards rushing now.
He's earned them all, too.
Gain of another 7. He's up to 95 yards rushing. In fact, Jackson's last 4 carries have all gone for 7 yards. That's a first down. Move the chains from the Potter 45-yard line. Under a minute to go, third quarter. Silver Streaks trailing 13-12. On first down, Steck brings a team set. Blitz showing, handoff up the middle, another huge hole, and just as Jackson tried to cut back to the middle, his left foot gave out, and he slipped down. I don't think he would have gained a whole lot more, but he takes it down to the Morton 33-yard line.
Yeah, saw the turf fly that time. Streaks pretty much going with the left side of that line. They'll go right on occasion, but for the most part they're going behind the big senior combo of Spinks, Ricketts.
6 seconds to go. Handoff right side. Holloway this time runs into the backside of one of his own teammates. Bumps to the outside to the 35-yard line. And he'll be close to a first down as we come to the end of a fast-moving third quarter. But the score has not changed since halftime. It's Morton 13, Galesburg 12. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you sure it's okay to bring this grill up to the stand?
Relax and have another shish kebab.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Will you scoot over? I can't reach the fondue.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one thing you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Hi, this is Brian Barnard. Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Missouri in the arch rivalry game.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family. By Office Specialists, where your office is their business. And by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
Hi, this is Brian Barnard. Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Missouri in the arch rivalry game. Our live coverage begins at 11 tomorrow morning on WGIL.
Big third down play for the Galesburg Silver Streaks coming up in Morton High School. Galesburg trailing 13. Third and one for the Silver Streaks from the Morton 36-yard line as we start off the fourth quarter. Streaks with a three-set backfield. One wide out to the near side is Mines. Fake handoff. Steck rolling to the near side. Got the first down. Hit and taken down inside the 30-yard line. And he was almost brought down in the backfield. And a nice job to stay away from Kyle Haft. And Steck cut upfield, and he's got the first down at the 29-yard line. Big third down conversion to start the fourth quarter.
Comes away holding his wrist in his hand, though. He's trying not to show it much, but I think he got a helmet right on that. Boy, that hurts, too. Those helmets are hard. And if that is the case, he's going to feel that for a while, but he's going to keep out there. It was his left hand and not his right, which is good news.
Gain of three, and that was a hard 3 yards that he picked up. But the Streaks moved the chains and have a fresh set of downs at the Morton 29-yard line just underway in the fourth quarter. And a fumble on the snap. Steck moves forward. It doesn't look good. There's a lot of red jerseys down there.
I was afraid of that, the way he was holding that hand. I've got to think that came into play, the hit that he sustained. And he tried to shake it off and act like it was no big deal. He didn't want to come off the field, but as soon as that center snap hit his hands, he didn't have a chance. He really had a chance, but he just, I don't think he had the strength in that left hand. It was still hurting to be able to get on it. There's still a question as to who is going to come off the bottom of the pile with this ball.
The Potters on the far side of the field are really screaming that they should have this one. They don't think there's any doubt about it. And finally they unpile, and the Potters have it. Another fumble for the Silver Streaks. Turns the ball over to the Morton Potters with 11:15 to go in the game at their own 29-yard line. Steck's second fumble lost of the night.
Yeah, we still got a whole quarter of football to play, but
yep.
You hate to continue to give away chances when you're moving the ball that well. And now head coach Wes Olson over there saying, let me look at that left hand. And Andrew's trying to, you know, say, hey, I can play with it. It's no big deal. But Wes knows that that came into play right there.
From the 29-yard line of the Morton Potters, pitch into the backfield. They led Bjork a little Woo-hoo! Bit, and a good swarm by the Galesburg defense to take him down for a loss on first down.
I think Austin Finley, the lead man there, as he put a shot on him and got some help from the rest of the defense, including Jared Carl.
That is Bjork's first carry since the tail end of the first half. And you remember, he got blasted and was slow to get up. And I think the Streaks are going to key on him, knowing that he might be a little intimidated after that big hit that he took, and they didn't get anything out of that one.
I'll say, he doesn't want to see big number 69 again either after that one, Finley.
Out of the eye, Rossi under pressure in the backfield, gets the pass away. Carl and Tremaine Carson both there. The Streaks wanted intentional grounding called. I didn't see a receiver anywhere in the vicinity. But the officials do not make the call.
Now, again, the Morton passing game really limited by the fact they just cannot hold out the Silver Streaks, who have done a great job getting pressure on those occasions. Meanwhile, on the Streak sideline, Coach Wes Olson said, all right, prove it. Prove you can take the snap. So he had the center and Andrew Steck go over here and take about 10 or 12 snaps as he kept an eye on that to see if they really could get the exchange.
Morton 1-for-4 on third downs tonight. Handoff right side. Popodzik hit in the backfield. Stacked up and taken down for a loss. And the Streaks have forced a punt here. And the Morton Potters will have to kick it into the wind with 10:20 to go in the fourth quarter.
The defense has really answered the bell after giving up a couple of big plays early in this ball game, and those last two, like Morton was, both times the ball carrier just didn't even have the inclination to try and run up the field. They were just swarmed by Streaks defenders.
Are you surprised that they did not hand it off at all to DJ Zahn on that series?
Needing
some yardage?
I would think you get it to him at least once every series.
Streaks with a fair catch. Robert Jackson fields it at the Morton, rather at the Galesburg 44-yard line. So the Streaks take over with 9:50 to go in the fourth quarter, trailing by a point. Great effort by the Galesburg defense. Three plays, minus 4 yards, and the Streaks get pretty good field position here.
Now, may this be the series that we actually go ahead and finish off a drive, but we got 55 yards to go. Both teams have been stymied by their own turnovers here tonight.
Steck trots back out onto the field. Let's see how this connection is as the Streaks take over, trailing by a point. 9:50 to go in the fourth quarter. Biggins in motion. Hand off to the left side, straight up the middle. And Robert Jackson gets hit and then pushed backwards. He got close to midfield for forward progress, and then he was stacked up there, and they are going to spot the nose of the football right at the 50. Gain of 5. Jackson with 108 yards rushing tonight on 19 carries. First 100-yard rusher of the season, or rather, he carried over 100 yards in very limited playing time last week in a 57-0 win. Biggins in motion again. Handoff up the middle again, and the Morton defense reads it better that time. No gain on second down. It'll be 3rd and 5 upcoming for the Silver Streaks.
Now, an interesting call here. I still think we can throw the ball on these guys a little bit, but for the most part, we've been, you know, getting 4 or 5 yards a carry, so you hate to put the thing in the air when you're able to run for some yardage, but now on 3rd and 5, actually 3rd and 4, I guess.
So they gave him a yard.
We might actually look for Jared Carl, but I don't know. 4 yards, tough call.
Just inside Morton territory at the Potter 49-yard line. Silver Streaks are 6 for 10 on third downs tonight. They face 3rd and 4 here. Steck rolling to the near side. He'll keep it in first down territory. Inside the Morton 40-yard line before he's rolled over at the 38. Move the chains. Another huge third down conversion for the Silver Streaks.
That play has worked well on a number of occasions. Steck rolls to the right, and I think they just have to respect the fact that he might stop and throw it, and so they play off of him, and then, gosh, he runs 5 or 6 yards before anybody even lays a pad on him. So Steck knows he's not going to put it in the air unless he has to, and picks up an easy first down that time.
Actually gained 12 on the play. He only needed 4. Ball spotted at the Morton 37-yard line. Galesburg trailing by 1. 13-12, 8 minutes to play in the game. I formation in the backfield. Handoff goes left side. Robert Jackson, little bit of a hole across the 35-yard line. Boy, they had defenders jumping all over the place, not knowing where that ball was. Jackson gained only a yard, though, as enough defenders read it well. I take it back again. Well, give him 3. 3-yard gain brings up 7 down. From the Potter 34-yard line. Jackson continues to roll up yardage. He's at 21 carries tonight. Again, 3 in the backfield behind Steck. Pitches it to Trayvon Diggins, trying to get to the far side of the field. Found a little bit of running room, then slowed down, waiting for a hole to open. And the Potters catch up to him short of the 30. And another third down and about 5-yard distance coming up for the Silver Streaks. Can they convert another one?
Well, at least now in this position of the field, you're in 2-down territory.
Yes.
And, you know, with time winding off the clock, I would think if you get another 10 yards or so and you run into problems, you might actually think of a field goal because you got the wind at your back. Let's hope we can get 6 and not have to worry about it, but it does come into play.
Clock rolling under 6:50 to play in the fourth quarter. Streaks down 1, 3rd and 4 from the Potter 31-yard line. Steck rolls out, pitches into the backfield. Trouble for Robert Jackson, breaks a tackle, and then hits short of the 30-yard line. He gains a yard, but now 4th down coming up for the Silver Streaks.
You know, we had a couple of decent blocks on either side of Jackson, but it just took so long for that play to develop that it allowed the secondary to really pursue up well for Morton. A lot of red jerseys up there to give Jackson all sorts of trouble. And still seeing Diggins is hobbling a little bit. I noticed that, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 plays ago. Then not so much on the run, but then after that play again, he comes up a little limp.
4th and 3, Nathan Mines puts out wide to the near side. Jake Innes to the far side. Andy Holloway also in the flat to the near side. Streaks have not converted on 4th down yet this year. Galesburg crowd comes to its feet. Diggins in motion. Steck, the handoff. Left side, not much room there, and Robert Jackson did not get it. He gains a yard. They needed 3, and the Potters take over on downs, leading by 1 with 5:46 to play.
Now we got another cramp on the field. Spinks out there helping one of his teammates. That's Taylor or who that is. As we've got a stoppage of play. And like you said, Brad, 5:46 to go. The time quickly getting away in this one. And who would have ever dreamed when it was 13-12 so early in this game that we'd still be sitting with this score and maybe end with it if another a long drive and chews up the clock.
Well, actually, we've had four touchdowns in the game and three of them were in the first quarter. It was 13-6 at the end of one. We've had only one touchdown since then. Freshmen lost tonight 32-8.
Sophomores play tomorrow at 11 at Van Dyke Field.
And the Potters will take over from their own 29 with 5:46 to play in the game.
Well, you know, we talked last year, well, the last couple of years, about offense to be able to throw the ball some, to be able to loosen things up so the ground game can have a little more room to run. I think we're certainly seeing that here right now. And, you know, if Morton even gets one or two first downs, that's going to put that clock awfully low, and then the Streaks are going to be forced to throw the ball if they get it back, because they're going to have quite a bit of room to cover if they want to get a winning score to win this ball game. So, again, I understand not wanting to take too many risks throwing, but I think if we're ever going to take a step and become the team that this group can be, we've got to be a little more cavalier in throwing the football when you've got a good, strong-arm quarterback.
Well, here's the good news for the Silver Streaks as Ryan Ricketts comes off the field to a nice round of applause. The defense, outside of the fact, as you've been mentioning tonight, Jim, there are a lot of players who go both ways, offensively and defensively, but the defense proper has been on the field only 10 plays in this second half. Morton has run only 10 offensive plays. This is the 11th on first down as Tristan Propodzic carries for first down up to the 40-yard line.
About a 12-yard pickup for Popodzik that time, and this is exactly what Morton wants to do. They want to run and run time off that clock. They don't even care if they score. If they can run that thing back down into Galesburg territory and force the Streaks to get it back with a long way to go and a little time to do it.
13-12 Potters. Triple set formation. First down from the Morton 40-yard line. Hand off to the near side. Running room for Popodzik again. And I've got to wonder, Jim, the last time Zahn carried the ball, they tossed to him, and he couldn't handle it. He's fumbled three times tonight, and here it is with the game on the line wanting to chew up yardage. He didn't carry the ball in the last series, and he hasn't carried it the first two plays of this series, and I've got to wonder if those fumbles are exactly the reason why.
Well, I've got to think that, coaching staff at Morton going to get tired of that. Zahn, of course, a breakaway threat, but you got Popodzik, a guy that carried it 20-plus times last game, and they're probably going to ride that bull here on the final drive.
Second and six. They do hand off to Zahn. Wrapped up from behind, and he dives forward. Nice job by Tremaine Carson to get him in the backfield and slow him down. He does pick up a yard, but now third and six coming up.
Yeah, Carson the first one there, and then he was able to just slip away from him briefly as he dove forward, and Dakota Smith came up from the secondary and helped to finish him off. Dakota will step out as Robert Jackson comes back onto the field now for this third down play.
Clock rolling at 4:20 to go fourth quarter. Morton leading Galesburg 13-12 with the ball.
Huge
Streaks
play.
Defense need a huge stop here. Triple set backfield. Rossi brings his team under center. Pitch into the backfield. Penetration. Zahn cuts to the right side. He's got an opening, and he's got the first down across midfield at the Galesburg 47-yard line.
Drew Carlson shot through there, and I thought he was going to steal the pass, the pitch there for a minute. He was so deep into the backfield, but once they got by him, then they had some room to move, and a good hard run by Zahn, the speed back, as he took a shot and still fell forward, and so a big first down. And if we do get the ball back, we're not going to have hardly any time left, barring a fumble on Morton's part.
Morton's first third down conversion since the first quarter is a monster one as Zahn picks up eight into Galesburg territory at the 48. Popodzik gets hit into the streak secondary. Robert Jackson rolls him down at the 40. Close to another first down, it'll be a yard short. Popodzic gained 8 yards on four carries in the first half. He's picked up 36 yards on seven carries here in the second half. Second and a long one coming up here. Clock rolling toward the three-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Morton leading Galesburg 13-12. Streak showing blitz, jumping at the line. Handoff left side, little bit of running room enough for the first down, down to the 35-yard line as Popodzic moves the chains again.
And a fresh set of downs as the clock moves with 2:57 now once they get the chain set.
Down to the Galesburg 35-yard line.
This game, just the second game of the season, but it's had kind of a playoff feel to it. It's been played with such intensity out here.
It sure has. Popodzic up to 49 yards rushing now. Morton taking lots of time in the huddle now, leading by a point with the ball and 2:40 to go in the game. At the Galesburg 35-yard line, Rossi brings the team set. Handoff up the middle. Popodzic again skips a defender across the line of scrimmage down to the 30-yard line. He'll chew up five more yards. I'm just going to start writing down quote marks because they just keep going to him and going to him on my little drive chart here.
Yeah, well, you can't blame him. And, if you're Coach Terry, it's working. You're going to stay with it because he's the guy that really wraps up the ball well, too, even if he's not getting a lot of, you know, it's pretty secure in his hands.
2 minutes to go in the game. The Streaks are going to have to start considering some timeouts if they can't make something happen here. Popodzic into the secondary. Tied the red zone at the 17.
Would have never guessed that they would put together a drive like this. I thought they might get a first down or two, but to just run it right up the middle, down our throats with Popodzic, who really hadn't had much success earlier in this game, has been surprising to me down the stretch here. We're at 1:54 to go on a timeout, Galesburg.
Down to the Galesburg 18-yard line. We'll take a timeout as well. Silver Streaks trailing by a point, and Morton on the move with 1:54 to go in the game. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at GalesburgCars.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate Immaculate Heart of Mary Church, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by R.C. Rowling. Congratulations from WGIL.
Streaks call a timeout to try to slow down the Morton offense, and it really doesn't work. Tristan Popodzic coming out of the timeout, a gain of seven more. Down to the Galesburg 10-yard line, and the Streaks have to call another timeout with 1:40 to go in the game. And the Potters with a second and three coming up from the Galesburg 10. Well, so many things in this game, Jim, could have really turned this thing around one way or the other. And we're not talking about just turnovers. There were some big calls in this game that just haven't gone the Silver Streaks' way.
Well, and some calls early on that we didn't think would come into play that much by both teams, electing to go for two-point conversions. Neither team made it. We were surprised the Silver Streaks didn't go ahead and kick to tie it at 13, clear back in the early second quarter, but little did we know that the score would still be sitting here 13-12. Certainly the Robert Jackson fumble that they called a fumble, that most of us thought he was down on the ground. The carry by Diggins when it looked like he had lunged across the first down marker. They did not give it to him. Just any number of those little things could have turned the tide here.
54 yards rushing on this drive by Kristen Podzik. They give it to him again up the middle, and he's got the first down inside the 10-yard line. Well, with a minute 33 to go in the game.
It's amazing the fact that our defensive front had been so strong, and now he is just destroying us running across that line. Now, you got to keep in mind that one of the guys that had the cramp was Ryan Ricketts. And I'm looking out there, and I don't see big number 63 on the field. He's on the sideline right now. So certainly without him, head up on the center out there, that's a drawback.
Well, and you have to wonder, with the streaks twice in this half not converting on fourth down, and as many players playing both offense and defense for the Silver Streaks, the defense has been fabulous tonight, but after not converting on fourth down again, mm-hmm. when the Streaks were down inside about the Morton 30-yard line, when they'd had a couple of big third down conversions already, to have some of those kids have to turn around after losing that momentum on the offensive side of the ball and try to get your head back in the game on the defensive side of the ball, it had to be tough to pick themselves back up.
Well, and really all they've got to do is kneel down a couple of plays, because we won't be able to stop the clock enough with them having a first down now to do anything about it.
Especially after having used their final timeout. Handoff up the middle, and I think you're right, Jim. I don't think Morton really even wants to get into the end zone at this point, as Popodzic carries it across the middle to about the 5, because the clock is rolling now and the Streaks can't stop the clock the rest of the way.
Except they will, because Kevin Hurd is hurt. He went down. It's like he's holding his left arm there. Silver Streaks will send in a replacement, and I'm sure the Morton sideline is thinking, oh, is this
stall?
Are you feigning an injury? But I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Hurd down immediately, and so quickly Matt Taylor is going to come in and take his place. And the last thing you want to see here is any sort of an injury that we carry into next week or beyond with one of the key players on that line on both sides of the ball for the Silver Streaks and Kevin Hurd, and he's still down. And he might have just caught a hit on the funny bone. That would I'll tell you, you get hit hard there, your arm just on fire.
It just goes numb.
Trying to shake that off.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what it was. Still holding the left elbow.
With Denise Polworth, athletic trainer for the Silver Streaks, walks him off the field. So if you're missing Ricketts and Hurd now, both on the defensive line, you're really hurting. Minute 15 to go in the fourth quarter. From the Galesburg 5-yard line, Morton with the ball on the 12th play of the drive. The Streaks need a miracle here, trailing by 1. The clock starts after the injury timeout, approaching the 60-second mark of the fourth quarter. Rossi watching the sideline for a long time here, waiting for the officials to say, go ahead. Waiting for his coaching staff to say, go ahead and play. And Rossi steps back and takes a knee. As we mentioned, the Streaks cannot stop the clock. They have no timeouts left. And with 48 seconds to go and third down coming up, Morton is going to win this game. The Streaks can do nothing about it.
And with all the excitement that this game generated through much of it, the one thing that we'll probably remember most is this final drive by Morton and Popodzik just plowing right over us all the way down to the 5-yard line to run all the time off the clock.
Rossi takes a knee again. The Streaks try to do everything they can to get across that line, and that's the final play of the game. Rather than the Silver Streaks starting 2-0 for the first time since 1982, the Morton Potters defend their home turf on their opener on their home field and win it 13-12, and a heartbreaking loss for the Silver Streaks. No scores in the second half whatsoever. Who would have thought?
And especially as much as both teams move the ball at times, but the defense for both teams would bend but not break, although I think if Morton would have really pushed the issue, they probably could have plowed Popodzik right into the end zone one more time at the end of this game. But they elected to go back and take the knee. Either way, it's a Morton win and a streak setback.
Galesburg falls to 1-1 on the year, and the freshmen lost tonight here as well, 32-8. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have our post-game show coming up for you from Morton High School, in which will include a visit with Galesburg head coach Wes Olson. Morton wins it 13-12. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL has been brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. By Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. For all your insurance needs. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street. Building a better bond between you and your pet. Stay tuned for the Silver Streaks football postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Yes?
I'm here about a duck.
A duck. Okay.
I'm busy.
There's a man here about a duck.
A duck. Okay.
Yeah, shipping.
Man's out front waiting for a duck.
A duck? Okay.
Patterson, got a duck.
What color?
What?
What color duck?
Get the duck?
Patterson wants to know what color duck.
What color? Okay.
Ask him what color duck.
There is an easier way to adopt a duck for the 15th annual rubber duck race September 12th at Lake Story. Go to galesburg.info and click on keyword ducks. Get a single duck for $5, on up to 25 for $100. All proceeds go to the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation. Online registration ends September 11th. Top prize is $2,000. Second prize, $1,000. Get all the details at galesburg.info. Keyword ducks. Oh, and all rubber ducks are yellow.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Gregory Shire. Proud to bring you GHS football on WGIL.
That's the sound of someone eating a new McDonald's Angus snack wrap while walking down a city street. Indulging in 100% Angus beef with delectable toppings demands one's undivided attention. Ah! That's the sound of that same someone falling into a manhole. Angus Axiom number 2. Don't walk and chew Angus at the same time. Savor one of three Angus snack wraps for just $1.99 at McDonald's. The simple joy of Angus. Prices and participation may vary.
The official WGIL forecast tonight is brought to you by financial advisor Jack Crockett, Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Serving you in the same location for over 18 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg, member SIPC. Tonight, clear and cool, low 49. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 70. Tomorrow night, clear, low 50. On to Sunday, sunny, high of 80. Sunday night, clear, low 59. And Labor Day, sunny, high of 84. Right now, it's 67 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Galesburg High School Silver Streaks football.
Still on his feet, and he takes it in for a 20-yard touchdown run. The 30, the 20, the 10, touchdown! Downfield, inside the 10, touchdown!
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the post-game show.
At Morton High School, a disappointing night for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. A great football game to watch. But if you're a Galesburg fan, it doesn't end the right way. 13-12, Morton wins it as the Streaks drop 2-1-1 on the season. And Coach Wes Olson is heading towards Jim Lee. So we'll go ahead and we'll find out what the head coach had to say to his player right away. Let's send things down to the field.
Down on the field with head coach Wes Olson. And, Coach, I know that in the post game you're talking to the team and trying to tell them, even though we're two games deep into the season, a turning point because they played with playoff intensity tonight. It was a really good ball game, but they just came up a little short.
Well, you know, essentially what happened tonight is that we made mistakes, you know, and it's early in the season. And I've said the first three games, you know, if you look at the season divided into thirds, look at those first three games, teams that are well-conditioned, teams that make few mistakes, teams usually win in those We made several mistakes tonight that were costly, had a few calls not go our way. And, you know, just some it's a ball game. It's a tough game. They're a good team. They're going to have a promising season. And, you know, and ultimately I think we will too. It all depends on how we bounce back from this loss. Our guys feel real bad right now, and they should. You know, we'll go to Chicago next week and get back to it.
Football's a funny game. When it was 13-12 early in the second quarter, who would have thought that the game would end that way, because both teams were moving the ball pretty well.
Yes, very strong run games out of both teams, and you know, diverse looks from those guys. You know, you start getting ready to stop the sweep, and they come back with a fullback in the belly, and it's a tough situation. Robert Jackson for us ran tremendously hard tonight, and that's kind of the route that we went, because kind of what they were giving us. But you know, I hope our boys learn from this, and certainly they're a strong-willed group, and they'll bounce back and be ready to go for practice on Monday.
The final drive by Morton surprised us, because really our defense had held them to next to nothing in the second half, and then all of a sudden Popodzic just runs all over us. Was part of that the fact that Ryan Ricketts was out with part of that drive with the cramp, and I know Hurd got hurt there at the end. What was the thought there?
Well, certainly I think conditioning comes into play. You know, we haven't had the opportunity to play a hard-fought battle like this. This is our first real four-quarter game. Last week we played our starters played a half, and so I think we saw some of that fatigue tonight, and that's on me as a coach for not conditioning them enough, and so that's something we can certainly work on. That's a very curable problem, and we'll get back to practice on Monday and work to get better. That's what it's all about.
You know, the offensive line though there late in the first half was really dominating the game. We were getting 5-6 yards a pop as we moved it down the field, and again, I suppose conditioning comes into that, because you got so many guys going both ways.
Yeah, absolutely, and actually they do too, and so we knew that coming in that it'd be a battle. And yeah, early on there in the first half, we were running the ball pretty prolifically, and I kind of wanted to do some other things and get away from some things, but when you're getting 5-6 yards at a time, it's pretty hard to get away from that. So we stuck with it, and the boys wanted to stick with it. I think they were taking some pride in that.
Thoughts on, we didn't think it would come back to be a big deal, but the conversion, instead of going for the kick, going for the two there in the second touchdown.
Yeah, that's a tough situation. You know, you convert, and obviously we're winning the game right now, and it's just decisions you make as a coach, and you look back and you can always second guess yourself, but ultimately, I'd probably do it again. You know, I mean, I think we had the opportunity to make it, and I think we had an opportunity to make a play there, actually, but it's just the way it goes.
Well, and then another tough call is when you're sitting in a drive like our last, and we had several cases where we were third or fourth and four. It's kind of that tough territory. Do you run it? Do you throw the ball? We never did put it in the air there. I guess you felt like Jackson and company were running well enough that we could pick it up.
Well, I think the boys felt strongly that that's what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? And if they're believing in what we're doing, then we should keep doing it. And I think they were believing in what we were doing. So they'll continue to. They'll take this loss tough. I can tell that they are. But they're taking it tough, but they're taking it the right way. I think there's going to be some determination in their eyes on Monday.
Good hard-hitting game between two teams. Enjoyed it, everything except for the outcome, Wes.
Yeah, what a great night. Minus the outcome, is a fantastic night, but that's what it's about. It's about battles and a fun football game. And it's just like we can't get close enough to Monday and next Friday.
Fast enough.
Streaks head coach Wes Olson on the post game. Back up to Brad in the booth.
All right, Jim, thanks very much. And as always, thanks to Coach Wes Olson for joining us on our post game coaches interview, brought to you by Crop Production Services. We'll take a timeout here on the post game show. When we come back, we'll take a look at our final statistics, tell you how this game played out and how it finished up in terms of the numbers game. And we'll also give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. Morton wins it tonight 13-12. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Listen up, early birds. Add a morning stop to Alternate Realities, where they are now open at 7 with Steam Cafe, serving premium fresh brewed coffee and pastries from Q's. Check out their newly expanded magazine and book section, offering everything from New York Times bestsellers to Newsweek.
And gamers, check out their ever-expanding comic
ceramics, board and card games, as well as other hobby-related merchandise. Visit GalesburgGaming.com for a full calendar of events.
Wi-Fi hotspot, smack in the middle of downtown Galesburg. Alternate realities.
I never read their diaries, ever. But now my girls seem to think they need to know where I am and what I'm doing at all times. I understand. My stroke gave us all quite a scare, and it did present a few physical challenges for me. But I have my life under control, thanks to Handyvan.
If a permanent or temporary disability prohibits you from using the bus or operating a vehicle, you don't have to rely on a friend or a relative. Monday through Saturday, Handyvan is on the go for you.
Pekin Insurance for all kinds of people, for all kinds of reasons. Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance agency, understands there's more to insurance than the policy. It's the people who matter most. Craddy Insurance strives to offer you the most comprehensive policies, whether it be for your home, auto, life, health, or business, at premiums that will fit your individual budget. Call your Pekin Insurance agency, Craddy Insurance, for insurance that goes beyond the expected to make a difference for you.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Red 22.
It's Patsy Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room? Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
You could win four tickets to see the Cardinals and Cubs play at Busch Stadium on September 15th. Starting tomorrow, listen to Cardinal Baseball to find out how you can win on WGIL.
Great high school football game here tonight, but for the Silver Streaks, not the right outcome. Morton wins it 13-12. Galesburg now 1-1 of the season. The Potters are 2-0. Here's how it played out. Both teams fumbled on each of their first two possessions, on each of their first possessions of the game. Morton, after on the fourth play of the game, a fumble. The Streaks on the second play of their first offensive drive, a fumble. And two plays later, the Potters turned it into a touchdown with a 59-yard touchdown run by DJ Zahn. Galesburg could not convert on a fourth down play on the next drive, but Zahn fumbled the ball right back to the Silver Streaks. Galesburg couldn't do anything with it on its third possession of the game and punted it away. Morton also countered with a punt. As the first quarter drew to an end, Galesburg finished off a four-play scoring drive with a 15-yard touchdown run by Andrew Steck. The kick was blocked, and the Streaks trailed 7-6. On the very next play, after the kickoff, Fernandez Bjork ran it 69 yards, a one-play scoring drive for the touchdown. As the first quarter ended, the Potters for two and did not convert, so we finished the first quarter 13-6. Galesburg had the ball then, obviously, to begin the second quarter, and they took 5 minutes and 33 seconds off the play clock, marching the ball 80 yards downfield into that stiff westerly wind. Robert Jackson finished off the 11-play scoring drive with a one-yard touchdown run. And then as Jim asked the question there of Coach Wes Olson in the postgame show, rather than go for the extra point kick into the wind to tie the game at 13, the Streaks went for two, the pass failed, and it was 13-12. That's what it was at halftime. That's what it was at the end of the third quarter. And that's how the game finished, 13-12. The Streaks fall tonight by a point. Our postgame statistics are brought to you by Thorns Pets and Supplies. And in a 13-12 game, you would think things would end up pretty evenly, and they did. The Streaks carried the ball 54 times tonight for 275 yards. Morton, 37 rushes for 252 yards. Both teams completed only one pass on the evening. Steck, one for two for a six-yard pass to Holloway. David Rossi for the Morton Potters, one for five passing tonight with a 10-yard completion to Matt Hungate. Individual rushing numbers for the Silver Streaks. Robert Jackson leads the way with 23 carries and 114 yards and a touchdown. Andrew Steck, 15 carries for 90 yards this evening, but also a couple of fumbles which hurt the Silver Streaks. Trayvon Diggins, 13 carries for 63 yards. Andy Holloway carried it twice for 6 yards. And Jared Carl on a direct snap on a fourth down fake punt did pick up 2 yards on his only carry of the night. For the Morton Potters, DJ Zahn 659 came on his long touchdown run way back in the first quarter. Tristan Popodzic finished the night 17 carries for 80 yards, and about 60 of those yards came on the final drive of the game, which allowed the Potters to run out the clock and hold on to their one-point victory. Fernandez Bjork had 4 carries for 70 yards. 69 of those 70 came on his long touchdown run. Andrew Starkey, a couple of carries for minus 2. David Rossi took a knee twice for minus 2 yards, and the Potters finished with 252 on the ground. Our post-game statistics brought to you by Thorne's Pets and Supplies. When we come back, our final order of business from Morton High School is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. 13-12, Morton prevails tonight. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Breedlove's is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breedlove Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breedlove Sporting Goods.
You know what's a pain? The cost of propane. How much are you planning to spend this winter? Take a few minutes now to consider a hybrid heating system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This hybrid system constantly compares inside and outside air temperatures and switches between two energy sources to keep your home at the temperature you want automatically. It'll help take the pain out of the cost of propane. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Pooch on the block following me around? Can't blame them. I'm gorgeous. I use shampoos and conditioners made for my coat. I blow it out using Conair's Yellow Dog, a dryer for pets. And with a quick run of the Furminator down my back, say bye-bye to loose hairs. Excuse me, won't you? Time for my pedicure.
Arf, arf.
Doggy spa supplies from Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Precision placement to me means putting the right variety on the right field.
Kurt Emkin for CPS in Yates City.
At CPS, we know the fields, we have fertility records, we work closely with the growers, and that helps us have a little advantage to putting the varieties where they need to be. And the end goal is to just try to remain as profitable as possible.
Seed, matched to the land you farm. Crop advisors you can trust. One-on-one services to maximize your profits. This season, choose Dyna-Grow and CPS.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
Hi, this is Brian Barnhart. Tune in for Fighting Illini Football as Illinois takes on Missouri in the arch rivalry game. Our live coverage begins at 11 tomorrow morning on WGIL.
Back at Morton High School, where the Silver Streaks fall tonight by a heartbreaking final of 13-12. And Jim Lee, 2 weeks in a row, a difficult time determining a crunch time player of the game last week because crunch time came so early in the game and a 57-0 final. There really is no crunch time player of the game. Tonight it's difficult because at crunch time, we didn't have that crunch time play that really determined the outcome.
No,
at least not for us,
right?
Anyway.
We had some big plays throughout the course of the ball game, but when crunch time to determine the game came around, it all was in the hands of Popodzic of Morton, and I'm not going to give it to the guy from another team, certainly.
No way.
But that was the way this thing went in the last 5 minutes. They just took it and ran it right through us. So I guess you go back to one thing that kept them from getting any more points, and certainly generated a lot of momentum for us at the end of the first half.
half. We'd had a couple of big hits for tackles by Tremaine Carson and Drew Carlson, and then forced them to go for a field goal. And Kevin Hurd, our kick-blocking specialist, blew through the line, blocked the kick, and the Streak sideline was really pumped as they went off after Kevin blocked that kick and kept a 13-12 ball game. And so I think I got to go with Kevin Hurd for the block kick there late in the second half for the crunch time play of the game.
All right. And with that, though, in the end, it unfortunately didn't help turn things around for the Silver Streaks, who fall by a final of 13-12. The freshmen fall tonight as well, 32-8. Don't forget Fighting Illini football tomorrow, as you just heard, against Missouri in the arch rivalry game at 11 o'clock here on WGIL. And Silver Streaks football a week from tonight. Hopefully the weather is just as nice as the wind finally died down as we make the long trip up to the Chicago area to Norridge to take on a team that we had a little fun against last week, so we hope to do so again next week.
Yeah, and Norridge, we found out, if you're wondering, about 2 miles straight to the east of O'Hare Airport, so we may have a little background noise when we're calling the football game up there next Friday night.
And hopefully, if you can't make the trip with the Silver Streaks, you'll be there with us next week, next Friday night. Our thanks to Chaz Pig for keeping things in control for us on the engineering duties tonight. For Chaz, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Binowitz. Once again, Morton wins at 13-12. Good night from Morton High School.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.